This week's episode is brought to you by Steady. Steady is an app for finding supplemental work and tracking earnings. Steady makes it easy for people to find the right work so that they spend less time searching and more time earning money. Find the work, earn more money, and track your progress all in one place. Steady is easy and completely free to use. Download the Steady app on your iPhone or Android and use Steady on your computer at steadyapp.com.
Welcome to the Friends.
Every time I'm in the zone.
My name is Dustin.
I'm Francesco, also known as Hey Friend Hey.
My name is Asante.
This is the Friend Zone.
Let's start the show. I'm in the zone.
And I don't think she said, "This is our agreement," because he would have announced that.
That would have been his first line of defense, because people was weighing him out and they should have been. But what you got to say, Trina?
Now, in continuance with our spotlight on Black women at their best, this week we want to give a shout out to Quad Webb Lunsford, soon to be Quad Webb, of Married to Medicine Frame on Bravo TV. Now she actually is a talk show host. She's moving on up. She has a talk show called Sister Circle Live that comes on daily. She's a part of a panel of amazing Black women, including Trina Braxton. And they were opining with Tony Gaskins Jr. this week about the B. Smith controversy. Now, we're all well aware about how B. Smith was married or is married to a man. She's suffering from a quite advanced form of Alzheimer's disease, and she don't know what the hell is going on right now. And her husband then moved some other hoe into the house, talking about that's his girlfriend, and B would love her if she knew of her, and, you know, all these things. And so there's been an uproar, okay? Just like the song said, what the fuck, though, okay? As soon as everybody saw what had taken place with him having this whore inside of the house. So this week, as they talked about it on Sister Circle Live, a panel, again, of four distinguished and accomplished Black women, I knew I was going to get the truth, Ruth, and that's exactly what I got from Quad Webb Lunsford. Okay, let me put some respect on her name, all three of them. Anyway, as Tony Gaskins made the point that, because there's been a conversation around this issue that maybe B. Smith and her husband had worked an agreement out or an arrangement of some sort when she was first diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease. That meant this type of crazy shit would be okay. You know, maybe they agreed it was okay. Tony Gaskins said that he didn't believe that was the case because obviously B. Smith's husband, and I use that term very loosely, he would have led with that as a defense. Quad, being the just the smart and kind Black woman that she is, she added to that conversation, yeah, because people online was wearing him out and they should have been. What you got to say, Trina? So let's break that contribution down really quickly. Not only did she affirm Tony Gaskins' correct opinion, in my opinion, she also added that, and they should have been, which means that it was the right thing to do. And sometimes you need to be led by good intention. What a gem of information, again, from a Black woman. That is our hashtag. It is, and they should have been, okay? Offer help to any group that you feel needs it. Offer encouragement to any group that you feel is on the right path. Just like Nicki Minaj's fans, the Barbs, this week, who released Tommy Lauren's phone number. And they should have been. You
Wait,
did what they... You heard
yes.
it.
A Barb did that?
You heard it. For the Barbs, they done. They done came through with the come through this time.
Yes.
But the point is, and they should have been. And they should have been. So shout out to Quad Webb for that, Jim.
Miss Quad.
She definitely got it. She definitely got it. And with that being said, and most importantly understood, it's time to really quickly go through our three QTNAs, which are questions that need answers and questions that niggas is asking.
Oh my goodness.
You know what time it is. Question one. Was Yandy,
oh Lord,
DeWife McKesson Smith?
DeWife.
Mm-hmm. Not DeRay, DeWife, because you know she's number one, life of wife. And number two, she's an activist now, baby. So was Yandy, DeWife McKesson Smith, recently pepper sprayed.
See, See, God don't like me.
And it's really about to go there.
He about to not be
upset. He got you tongue tied.
Was Yandy Smith recently pepper sprayed while protesting in front of the freezing cold Brooklyn jail with black pepper spray? Was that what it was?
Oh,
okay.
No, he did.
Yes, he did.
Shout out to Orication.
That's who let it. That's who went off on Yandy at the protest.
No.
Maybe they seen her feet. Maybe we didn't see that edit.
Oh my God.
Okay.
Oh my Lord, Dustin.
Question two.
He's just getting started.
Will French dressing Montana's recently announced Las Vegas residency? Okay. Will it be designed as an ode to the Big Bang Theory, called the Mukbang Theory, where he sits his greasy knuckled ass on stage and eats? Is that what his Las Vegas residency is going to be? I want to know. Okay, question three. This one, we got to get to the bottom of this. And I mean bottom. Instead of cancellation, so in lieu, for those of you that went to school, of cancellation, will Kevin Hart find redemption and much needed humbling embarrassment by releasing an Instagram Junior sized video where he looks over an exposed shoulder, makes direct eye contact with the camera, while a loop is playing of Lloyd singing, She's 5'2".
Really?
Is that his payback?
Really?
That's what I want to know.
Jeez.
With those being asked, and most importantly understood, I want to take this here time and vision, because now this is a visionary moment. I want to take this opportunity to welcome all to the Friend Zone, which is your weekly look into all things mental health, mental wellness, and mental hygiene. Because who in the hell wants a musty brain? Hello, friend. How do you do?
How are you, Dustin Ross? My Lord.
I'm happy to be here.
It's like the intro's turning into a 10-minute one man show.
I am tired.
I got my dancing shoes on.
How are your weekends, guys?
Weekends were good. God bless Crystal. We went to an amazingly themed happy birthday 28 and 3.
The fact she had
the pettiest party
banners,
I've ever been to.
A cake.
Yes. Oh my God.
Warmers for the food.
I didn't even know what it meant. And she shot a video of me on her IG stories of me sitting up looking at the band. I was like, Crystal, they're going to think I don't know this. I don't even know what team was
playing. She's going to make it seem like you co-signing
that.
Yeah, I hope sports fans didn't come at you.
No, they didn't. Good. She was like, I'll beat anybody up that says anything mean. I was like, okay, thanks. But that was really fun. We didn't even watch or anything, but it was fun just being together.
Literally,
we don't really get to see
each other. Went to boycott the Super Bowl together.
Right.
That was great. I also got to see one of my really good friends who actually moved to Shanghai and started a really great business that I'm going to feature at some point here on the show. But I spent time with her. We had like a friend day.
I love her.
Yeah, Sunday, midday fun day. So I went to brunch at Soho House and acted funny, used the right pronunciation of all my words. It was great.
Come on, Soho House.
It was cool.
Yes.
Asante, what'd you do?
My weekend was great. I've been doing a lot of work. I'm working a lot on my home, and I'm also working a lot on my business. So there are a lot of things coming together at the same time. So a lot of new is happening this Black History Month.
A lot of new.
Yes. So I've been working a lot this weekend.
Everybody is working for the weekend. So, what a great song.
Yes, working all weekend to get to a better place. And I'm just excited to share all that as it comes up.
Yeah.
But that's how it's been for me. What about you, friend?
Yeah, how was your end of the week?
Come on, tell us about it.
I'm still obsessing over curtains and
yes.
rugs.
Oh, yes.
I've moved on to the living room. That's the project of the week.
Mm-hmm.
And so, it's in the air because Crystal is changing her whole place around. Yep. You about to start working on your place, Asante. Jade is about to in about a week. She just got approved for a new place. XD.
Yep.
Everybody's in house mode. And
I got a new hoe blanket.
Really? What's the material?
Well, it's a comforter, but once you get a new comforter, the old one now becomes the whole blanket.
Oh. Mm.
So I'm very excited to welcome it to the fold, literally.
Yes.
Wait, what happens? What happens with the whole blanket?
Well, you put it down when it's time for a hoe, yes. When you a hoe, yes. You know, it's time to hoe, you know, that's what you put it down. Put it down when it's time to put it down. That's what it is.
Which is why I want to have another conversation about rugs with you at some point.
Oh,
as
please.
Well.
We could do a whole show
on the
rugs.
Flow hoe.
Absolutely. You know, just in case.
I'm so happy though, you guys. Like, I warmed up my living room because mm-hmm. it's winter. So mm-hmm. I got like heavier drapes for the curtains. I got like a faux animal hide rug for the yes. living room. You know, just very warm.
Oh, yes. Brown cow stunning.
Brown cow, right. Stunning. It's just very warm, and I got like more earth tones, and it's just, I just wait till you guys see.
When you open the door, it probably sound like a log crackling, don't they? Like, ooh, this is so cozy.
My mom came over, and she was like, okay. She was like, what are you preparing for? I was like, cut it out. I needed to change. You know, I've been there for a lot of years, and mm-hmm. considering the age I was when I first bought all that furniture and the age I am now, like, mm-hmm. I'm two totally different people. Mm. So obviously I'm not going to throw everything out and buy everything new, but at least, you know, you want to update.
Yeah.
To kind of like cater yes. to how you're feeling now.
A refresh.
Yes. And it's good. It's expensive. I've been kind of going ham. Yes. I need to chill out a little bit, but I'm glad because I haven't purchased, if in the month of January, I didn't buy any sneakers. I didn't buy any clothing.
Okay. So, that deserves a note.
Hello, shocker. I mean, it helps that we're not on tour.
Right.
But I just didn't buy anything, you know, I guess house stuff is kind of superficial. I was about to say I didn't buy anything superficial, but it's at least it feels good.
Yeah, I mean, listen, now. You gotta, like Gladys Knight and them said, you gotta make yours a happy home. So that is what you were supposed to do. And if your mama came in there and said, okay, then your space is literally kid tested and mother approved.
But I really can't wait for you guys to come over because it looks so nice. And then now I have to work on the bedroom next, which I'm low-key. Mm. I know, yes.
Well, you know what I was looking blanket. At? Mm-hmm. I've been looking at the Murphy beds with them convertible ones where ooh. They like the shelves and shit. I'm like, damn, these are slick as fuck.
That's a really cool idea. I remember I had someone that switched to that bed and mm-hmm. I remember I was like, I've never seen this in real life.
Right? Yeah.
And it was really cool because he had a music studio that was also in his bedroom.
So, yes.
So he wanted to make more room.
Space.
Right.
Yeah.
So that was kind of his thing where he'd have people come over, they'd work on stuff, and nobody was sitting on his bed, which is what he yes. hated. So he got a Murphy bed and it was so cool.
Yes. I was watching tons of videos of where like
they're
it'll go up
obsessed,
and then
right?
it'll be like a couch as well, or you could like bring out them little tables and more chairs and shit. I was like, damn, this is a whole lifestyle for real.
Yo, that'd be really dope.
It's very cute. I thought they called it a Murphy bed because when people come in your room when you got one and they thought they was going to sit in the bed, you can laugh like Eddie Murphy.
Oh my God.
The minute he looked over, I was like, this
you
is
already
about
knew,
to
right? I was waiting.
Right.
You know what I would say? I want a canopy bed.
Yes. The canopy beds look so...
Yo, I had one when I was a little kid. I had one up until, I think, we were in my grandma's house till I was 7, I think. Mm-hmm. And my mom got me a canopy bed to kind of make up for the chaos of our lives living in that mm-hmm. crazy-ass house. She was like, here's a pretty bed.
Oh, but yeah.
Where you can hide with the...
The little curtain
what's it called?
And all
like
the
chiffon mm-hmm. drapery mm-hmm. on it. And I, out of nowhere, lately, I've been like, I want one again.
Would you get it with little stairs and you walk up like it's a little higher or no? Nah? Because, you know,
that's actually kind of cool.
I love Elevate.
I love that.
I really want one. I think the next time I move, because right now there's no way I'm buying a canopy bed. Like, my bed is huge and heavy and it's big, and the thought of moving that out and bringing another bed in feels stressful.
Okay.
But I'm definitely getting a canopy bed. No, can't you see it? Yeah, it's like a prince, yes. like a lair.
Yep.
I read a book
lair.
One time where this girl had her bed in the living room. When you walked in her living room or her apartment, her bed was like, she had a 4-post bed in the middle of her living room on like a platform.
What?
And then her bedroom was like a, you know, like a living room study area. But like that's she slept in the middle of the floor in this book. And I've always wanted to do that ever since I read that in a book. But I ain't doing it. But I'm just saying, you know, it would be cool.
That
right?
is a really cool idea. Yeah. Especially if the living room space is bigger.
Yeah, yeah. Wood floors, beautiful, you know, wooden four-poster bed, bedding that, you know, drapes and hangs on the goddamn floor, drags the floor. Yes. You know what I mean? Ooh, pillows, so nice. Fur pillows and shit all in the middle of the floor. Make you just want to drop trial. So, yeah,
And speaking of wood floors, sorry, we are adulting 101 right now.
Yes.
I bought a Hoover. The hard floor.
Friend.
Oh, you got it.
Yes.
Yes.
Crystal totally put me on because our other friend, Nikki, put her on. Mm-hmm. And I saw it in her house and I saw her talking about it on Twitter. And then I was like, you know what? I need something new because I'm super old school. I get down on the floor and wash with a rag. Yeah, mm-hmm. like that's just, to me, nothing gets it cleaner mm-hmm. than doing it manually. But I'm also about to be 50 years old. And my
if you don't close your mouth.
I was with you until
I just didn't feel like doing that no more. It just is a lot at this point. And so,
well, you're a woman of today.
A woman of today. Yeah. That's a nice way of putting it. Thanks, Dustin. Whatever that means.
No, I mean, you know what I mean? You ain't really getting down scrubbing no motherfucking floors as hard as you work. Hoover. Who's scrubbing the floor? Hoover. Nobody. Okay.
But
continue.
I ordered it and I'm actually really excited. Mm-hmm. Really excited to use it because it looks official. I was watching videos as well.
Yeah, I too.
Watching videos. And it just, the fact that at this age, that's the kind of shit that excites us. Well, isn't that funny?
Well, there's a techie toy element here. Question. It can you put water in it?
Yeah, that's cool. You put the solution in there. Yeah, it has one side for the water, one side for the solution, mm-hmm. and then one side for the dirty water, mm-hmm. which is genius because that
the
way
the Republican side.
And it's genius because that way you don't mix the clean water with the dirty water.
Right.
And there's no, you know, when you mop, mm-hmm. you're like spreading the nastiness mm-hmm. sometimes.
I've never understood that.
So I love it. I'm excited. Crystal was telling me that the first time she used it, it was like she'd never cleaned her floor before because it was just the water was like black. She was like, holy shit, it's next level. So my floors deserve it.
We deserve another round of applause for that, actually.
Yeah. Isn't it funny? Haz and I were literally texting each other wallpaper, pillow. She tweeted about it. She was like, Fran and I texting each other about fucking rugs.
You about to get another round of them when I move now.
I cannot wait. I'm so excited. You and Jade.
Man.
I'm ready.
That new
y'all,
new.
Y'all just call me.
Happy Black History Month.
Okay.
But let's jump into this week's episode. Y'all ready for that?
Mm-hmm.
So on last week's episode titled Peggy Bundy, Dustin and Asante allowed me to ask them questions about their experiences with homophobia in the cities. Why are you laughing? In the cities they're from, in New York, and just their general day-to-day experiences. And as always, a ton of you had a lot to say. Who stood out to you, Asante?
I want to give a shout out to Jessica in the email. She subject is Black Queer Woman. She said, this week's episode meant a hell of a lot to me, and I would like to mention one thing that you guys might not have thought about. Masculine presenting queer Black women. And I did not think about this. I am such. I absolutely will not walk down any street at night by myself. Luckily, I have not had to recently. And I now live in a suburban in Georgia. But when I lived in the DMV area, there were times that it would come up. I'm 36, 5'3", and 130 pounds. No match for a man. I've been in two situations where I fear for my safety in regards to being accosted by groups of men. Having four younger and bigger in stature brothers and countless male friends. Once I voiced my concerns and fears, I didn't have to do that anymore. I will say that I've read about women like myself being attacked, even with them being with their parents, or partners, excuse me, especially since the femme didn't respond as the men wanted. It's definitely a fear of mine. I just want to share this because I know a lot of my more masculine presenting friends have had this happen to them. And so, yeah, Jessica, when you mentioned that, I was like, damn, that was something that we did not really discuss or touch on in homophobia.
And the collective consciousness, because that's literally right. what today's topic is.
Right.
That's so
funny. It was so
out.
Funny
you
brought
that
to the table.
Right? Thank you. I hope we do it justice.
Yeah, the one thing she did overshare, though, about, right? She going to say she come from, she got older and much larger brothers. You 5'3". I know your brother is much larger than
Dustin.
Friend, where did you find in those SoundCloud streets?
I tiptoed into Dustin's Twitter streets this week.
Welcome.
Real Nina DeGlow said, "Break a leg has a few sources." Because remember we were talking about, where did that come from? The curtains on the sides of the stage that actors pass through are called the legs, and not everyone was allowed to perform. So if you got to, quote unquote, break the leg, you got your chance, and that's also the origin of your big break. Also, in England, if you got to bow before Queen Elizabeth, which was more like a curtsy, it was called breaking your leg. The best from the cast were allowed a private bow, and these are two of the most popular versions of where the saying comes from. Hashtag actor's life.
Well, thank you. The more we know.
Okay. The more we know. That
insert
was really
the comment
cool.
flying
cute,
across.
Right.
Yeah.
What'd you find in the streets, Dustin?
First of all, I found shock and awe that last week y'all literally let me slide without doing the In the Streets segment. Literally nobody responded and said, "Dustin, you didn't do In the Streets."
I don't know how
remember
you
I told y'all
that.
I caught it, but I was like,
no one listening.
No, nobody. Remember I told y'all I was like,
we're
just going
right,
to see if somebody said.
Oh,
yep. So
wow.
You know why? Because they're waiting for the story at the end. Someone said they've been listening to the show backwards.
They gotta figure out what happened to the story first. Like, I need to get this part out of the way.
Right.
Okay, so real quick, we just got a couple tweets we need to highlight. Number one, Jack A. Harry, she tweeted, "Hey, Jackson Jills, it's February, and that means 227, February 27th, is just around the corner where we celebrate the show 227. As always, I let you guys know when this show comes up that it is a fundamental piece of who I am when it comes to being funny." So she said, "This year I want to celebrate by talking about some of her favorite fashion moments from style icon Sandra Clark, because if we're being honest, chick really doesn't get enough credit." So she's doing 25 days of Sandra, and every day she's talking about a different fashion moment from 227. I thought that was really cool.
Oh my God, I have to follow that.
Yes.
Okay. I want to give a shout out to that Grape Juice, like I said, who wrote an article that said, "Ring, ring, Nicki Minaj fans released Tommy Lauren's personal phone number," and they attached actual like screen grabs of people who like showed screen recordings of them calling the number.
Stop.
Answering and saying, "Is this Tommy Lauren?"
Like, no.
She gets quiet, all that. I am just, this really made my day, like really made me smile.
Woo.
I want to give a really quick shout out to Benjamin Seaman, Benjamin J. Seaman, and Seaman is spelled S-I-E-M-O-N, who tweeted, "Hi, Joshua Trump." Apparently some nigga named Joshua Trump is mad because he got the last name is Trump. And, you know, whatever. So he said, "I'm sorry you get bullied at school for your last name. My name is Ben Joseph Seaman. Seaman, S-E-M-E-N in quotation marks, or B.J. Seaman."
Oh,
I didn't visit a porn set to feel better. You don't need to go to the State of the Union. So President Trump's, you know. Anyway, he had told somebody named Joshua Trump they could come because he's the last name Trump, but he'd been getting bullied in the school. So that's what that was about. But I just thought that was funny because the real joke was that they was calling that guy B.J. Seaman.
You gonna laugh?
Okay. That shit is funny.
Last one, and this one, I mean, like, I really, there's no way we can make this up. So Ja Rule fucking tweets.
He tweets
"For bookings," with quotation marks and a link for you to like click if you want to book him. So somebody named SLVTER tweet. They quoted the tweet and said, "Fool me once with an ellipsis."
Oh my God.
Exactly. And that's it in these Twitter streets.
My word.
So I was telling the guys that when I asked you guys to send in ideas for hot button issues, you guys, first of all, y'all blew up my email, but I was really glad because as I was reading through it, they were really amazing topics. And so I told the guys that I think once a month we should start dedicating the hot button issue to a topic that you brought up in the emails. And of course, like I mentioned last time, I'll give you credit. If you don't want credit, because there was someone that also was like, "Don't mention my name," you know, because the topic they brought up, I guess, was sensitive and they didn't want to trace back to them. But whatever the case, in the email when you're sending me ideas, let me know whether or not it's cool to say your name. And then I also had two suggestions for you guys to see if you were down. So I think because Dustin's story time ends in cliffhangers, it would be good for that to be like the end of the show. So how would you guys feel about moving up the Black business? And then instead of us doing the church announcements and just looking around and saying nothing, 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 let's only bring that up if we actually have church announcements.
Okay, well, girl, you can ask us this shit before we got on the mic.
No, I'm just playing.
Because if we had done it separately, people would be in the comments like, why is it switched?
That's another thing. Quit asking. Mind your business. Remember boundaries this year. We established them. Don't worry about why and how.
So now they see the little change happen in real time. Okay.
Okay, I'm fine with it. So all in?
Say aye.
Say aye, 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 aye.
Oh, my Lord. So this week's Black business, I just want to shout out an app called Giphetize.
Mm-hmm. And it's already Black like owned. It.
Oh, my Lord. It's Black owned. And it's an app that helps you save GIFs and videos from Twitter, Tumblr, and Reddit straight to your phone.
Been asking for years.
Remember, you were trying to teach me with that other app. And so this one, I downloaded it and it's super easy. I was like, okay, it wasn't hard. It even has a tutorial in case, you know, you're not
you know, savvy at all the things. Things change every day now.
You know, and I love it because remember when we had Zion come on here to talk about crypto? It's his friend.
Oh, nice.
And I'm like, look at these awesome young men in tech. Right? The fact that he created something that important. I mean, think about it.
Yeah.
That everyone's going to need that and use that. Because I hate seeing the tweets under a GIF where people are like, would you type in to get that?
Right.
Or where'd you get that from? So now you can literally just swipe it. And so it's called Giphetize, Giphitize. It's only for iPhone, unfortunately. I'm sure he'll expand over time. This is... Oh, my God.
So
find it in the App Store. And that is our Black business highlight of the week.
Giphetize me, Captain.
Downloading it literally right now.
It is a great app. You see how I've been sending y'all all these videos and GIFs? That's because I'm on now.
Okay, fine.
Video Asante sent us, though. I can't.
Oh, my God.
This girl is on fire.
She's like, not the harness.
That was the best part.
Oh, my God.
Today's episode is also brought to you by some of the best cupcakes I've ever had, Baked by Melissa. Baked by Melissa's cupcakes will change the way you think about Valentine's Day gifting forever. Every cupcake is stuffed, iced, and topped entirely by hand, and they're all perfectly bite-sized, so you can have one in every flavor, which you'll want to. Especially considering the lineup of special Valentine's Day flavors, which includes milk chocolate, red velvet, strawberry, made with real strawberries and buttery streusel, vanilla cream, and more. So, this Valentine's Day, send your loved ones the perfect gift with Baked by Melissa. But remember, the last day for standard shipping for Valentine's Day delivery is February 12th at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Go to bakedbymelissa.com/friendzone today, sign up, and use promo code FRIENDZONE to get 15% off your next order. This is a special offer exclusively for podcast listeners, so make sure you take advantage. That's 15% off at bakedbymelissa.com/friendzone using promo code FRIENDZONE.
So to tie into last week's episode...
That video?
No, not that video.
Oh, okay.
That would have been interesting. There were visuals.
Nail?
What?
Sorry, nothing.
Someone's
nothing.
Nail? Well, you know it ain't mine. I'm dead. So, okay. So last week we touched on different. Sorry, they're really staring at a nail in the rug.
I'm just like.
What color is it? Is it colored?
It's designed. It's like, it's got some designs in it. It's like one of them pretzels.
I'm trying to kick it over and see the other side.
Oh, my Jesus.
Yeah, it's definitely a nail.
Okay. So I wanted to talk to you guys about gender performance and gender roles.
Apparently somebody ain't doing it no more. and it stopped immediately. I know I didn't hear it waiting on the other shoe to drop, but a whole motherfucking fang in there.
Can you fang it?
Okay, I quit. Please. I just want to hit the nail on the head. Okay.
So let's talk about gender performance. How much of I can't even like there's a nail on the with a design.
Apparently you ain't alone. A couple people couldn't. That's it.
Does gender performance play a role in your dating life at all? Because I remember Asante had shown me. Let's get into it. We talked about it last week a little bit when you were showing me the dating app. I forget what city we were in, but Asante and I were curled up on the couch looking through, and I was like, him, pick him. Remember? We had a lot of fun with that.
Yeah, I was giving you a crash course.
Yeah.
You know, we have a very, you know, we have history.
We do.
In the phones, that's why I was showing you. I was like, you know what? Damn.
It was great.
Yes,
it was great.
It was.
But you also showed me.
Many years, we went to the Broccoli City Festival. Wow, do you remember that?
Oh my God, remember sharing, didn't we share one
room?
Yeah,
in D.C.
The two of us and Fury.
Yep. And then do you remember I was going through your phone? I wasn't even going through your phone.
Yes.
I remember what happened too.
Asante saw one of my nudes.
And then you looked
and
at me.
And he gave me the thumbs up like, this is good.
And then you were like, oh, I feel so close to you now. Or something like that. And in my mind, I was thinking like, me too, girl. Like, because you know when you know a little bit too much of your friend's business, then it's like, are we friends?
Hi, Mom.
My God.
Hey, Mom, too.
I ain't seen nothing, Mama. I ain't seen anything. And I would have turned my head.
Oh, no, but when you were showing me the app.
Yes.
You were showing me that there were certain
things that come up
and it was like so common where they were saying like no femmes.
Yes.
And I was like, can you break that down? Because I wasn't understanding what that meant. And you started to break it down. But I say break it down for those who are like, what are y'all even talking about?
So I kind of tried to touch on this a little bit last week when I was talking about internalized homophobia and that being a big thing. But one thing that I see a lot on these dating apps specifically are a lot of men have these issues where they're like, you know, if you're not masked, don't bother me. Or if you can't talk about anything other than, like, if you can't talk about sports around me and my boys, then don't hit me up. And it's like, it wasn't like preferential as much as it was. They need you. They're trying to say, if you don't act like a man, then they don't want you. Because why not get with a girl? If I wanted a girl, I would get a girl, not a man. Like that whole mentality. And it comes up a lot on the dating apps.
I noticed. It was almost every profile that you showed me. I was like, okay, this is really a thing. And then what got me interested in that was because it's like Dustin's cracking me up. It happens to all of us in different ways. I was sharing a story with you guys earlier how I wanted to cut my hair again because it grew pretty fast already, and I'm like missing the shorter hair. It's just easier to deal with, and it was cuter and styled. I can just kind of get
it. It was very
cute.
Wasn't
it so cute? And then a friend of mine was like, "You can't cut it because you're about to start dating again." And I was like, "What?" I was like, what does that have to do with dating?
You know,
she was like, you know, men don't like short hair.
You know what else that made me think of when you said that earlier on Top Model? How when they used to get the makeovers, the girls used to cry when they would get their hair cut off. Almost as if it felt like they weren't pretty no more.
Right.
And
like
that
it took
was
away
so
their femininity or like it took something away. And I have to be honest, the day that I cut my hair, I remember the Uber driver taking me to the salon, he knew who I was, and he was like, what are you going to the salon to do? And I was like, I'm going to cut my hair. And the first thing he said was, as long as you don't cut it short. And I remember laughing, because I'm like, bro, who asked you? Like, I really didn't ask you to give me tips on hairstyling.
Right.
And when I posted the video on Twitter, I believe, of my haircut, men were like, saying really crazy shit. Like, the women were all like, you look so good. You're so beautiful. Oh, my God, I love it. Goals. I got to save this for when I get my hair cut next. And then I had a lot of men like, why the fuck would you do that?
Like, damn.
Yeah.
Oh,
like,
man.
And it kind of was funny to me that I was like, why what would that matter? The haircut looks so cute. And I was thankful that I didn't not do it because I actually was really, really happy with it. But there was that moment, you know, where even when I was telling people beforehand that I was going to cut it, a lot of the men in my life were like, you're tripping. Like, don't do that. Your hair is so beautiful. And it's such a part of, you know, you and your look and da-da-da. And I'm like, yeah, but...
Anything you do would be a part of your look.
Right.
And yeah. Also, like, I don't know. There's, I think... With this whole idea of gender performance, I've never really played into that. And I have even dated people who wanted me to be more feminine in a lot of ways. Because you guys see, like, I'm more... The clothing that I wear would not be viewed as feminine.
Right.
And you still pulled.
Well, that's what's funny. And you know what
Andrew
I do
Caldwell.
Notice?
Oh, my God.
Is a hat custom?
Kardashian mutter. I am very entertainment. Hi guys. Yes, I love you. Go ahead.
No, did you see the video this week where he told someone, I could take your girlfriend and she would come up to me and look at my thing and say, I really like that.
Boy, that biscuit face motherfucker is funny,
yeah,
man.
Awesome.
I don't care what nobody
he's
say.
Awesome.
He is funny, man. Anyway, go on.
Ooh. I do notice that men treat me differently depending on what I'm wearing. If I have on, and I don't mean differently, like they show more interest, even a matter of courtesy. Like, if I'm wearing a dress and heels and my hair is out, everyone's holding the door for me. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like people are just treating me with a lot more like the white glove treatment. When I throw on a sweatsuit with some Jordans and a hat, which is usually me every day, it's totally different. I'm not saying that men just completely ignore it because hood dudes still gonna look at you on the block. They don't care. But for the most part, dudes will let the door go in my face. Like, it's kind of shocking. Like, I'm the same person. I just have on a different fucking outfit. And I noticed that the response, like I said, it's not just who hollers or who doesn't, but even just
the way you're received.
Yeah, just the way you're received as a woman. It's interesting how those dynamics play into your day to day, like moving, like being on the train and walking in and out of buildings, or even who chooses to give up their seat.
I was thinking about that, too, as you were saying that. Like, in my mind, I was thinking about, like, even common courtesies and chivalry.
That's what I mean. Common courtesies. Not even, like, yo, can I talk to you? But, like, getting up when you, like, I guarantee you, if I have a more, quote, unquote, feminine outfit on the train, the dudes will get up quick.
Right.
Because they're like, yo, excuse me, miss, beautiful.
But if you got baggy clothes on and stuff like
but
that,
the
they're
way
like,
I'm dressed
oh.
Right now, it's like, they're like.
She can handle standing up.
You know.
For real.
It's like, I'm one of the guys. It's like, she don't get courtesies. And I just find that interesting because it's like, it's fucking clothes. It's clothing.
Can I ask you a random question?
Absolutely.
Have you ever been on the train and seen like a man struggling or something and then been like, I should get up for this dude? And you probably have.
Of course.
There are probably so many people that are just that have looked and seen somebody struggling, man or a woman, and just been like, okay, and gone back to doing what they're doing. And
true.
Some people do that on a regular until they see somebody they're attracted to. And most hood dudes you speak of only interact with either people that they know or people that they're attracted to. Outside of that, they're not really showing even like a regular decency of love or whatever in the neighborhood, which is so fucked up.
Yeah, it's true. And even I had an event I was invited to at the Met that I was really excited about because it was Microsoft and the Met. It was like showing how artificial intelligence and the art world are coming together more and more in the future.
Nice.
I was like, oh, that sounds so great. I was honored to be invited. And then they sent, you know, a very specific dress code.
Mm-hmm,
and I was like, and I didn't go. And my mom was like, you're really not going to go? I was like, I'm not, because I don't know what it is about a dress code.
Right.
That turns me the fuck off. I don't care what it is. I'm not going.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so I think, I don't know, it's just, I find it interesting how even in relationships, even walking down the street, something as simple as a fucking pair of pants, you know, however you choose to quote unquote present that day will really change how your day will flow.
You know what I think is interesting? Well, what I find most interesting about gender roles, because when it comes to people having a preference, to me that those waters get really gray really quickly. Mm-hmm. And I think that it is completely okay for people to be attracted to what they're attracted to. Where it gets dangerous is when you feel like you have to make a declaration of that. Mm. Or you go out of your way to let people know, like, you know how you see certain people that only date a certain type of person and the conversation is always surrounding that issue, or they want to talk about why they don't date down. Other people. You know what I mean? Exactly. I think that's where that gets dangerous. But you, like, in this case, we're talking about guys, you're attracted physically to what you're attracted to physically. You know, the same goes for emotional attraction, mental attraction, all those things, right? And I'm fine with you liking what you like. Even, I understand why it is something that is of concern or of note in the dating app world, but if it's a dating app specifically for people being attracted to each other and hooking up, you kind of need to let people know up front what you're attracted to or whatever. There's a way to responsibly do that, though. And I think that's what you run into, which is right. People who are completely irresponsible with that task. Beyond that, where the gender role conversation gets interesting to me is, and dialing back to mentioning Sister Circle TV, I saw an interview on there Monday. That was a wrap up of all the events that took place on Super Bowl weekend. And we all know that Bow Wow got jumped on by his girlfriend or a girl he was dating or whatever. The internet was ablaze with jokes about him getting beat up, his ass whipped, all this stuff. And I expect that in those spaces, like on Twitter, in those internet spaces, cool. That's what people do. It may not be right, you know, but that's what happens. I get it. But on that show, they had a girl come on to talk about gossip. It was like a Hot Topics kind of segment with this young lady and Miss Quad, right? And the girl, when she started talking about, I hope y'all don't hear that this week, I just swallowed. But this girl, when she started talking about the Bow Wow situation, number one, she was laughing and smiling the entire time. Wow. And she closed it up by saying, I mean, you know, he'll be all right. Bow Wow, he'll be all right. He'll heal up. You know, he'll be all right. He'll be right back out there. He like completely acted like it was no big deal and literally was laughing and joking, saying he would be all right.
Yikes.
That's where that gender role shit gets mm-hmm. dangerous to me, because it's not okay for somebody to be attacked to that point. And we saw what happened. Now, that doesn't negate the fact that it was funny, because Bow Wow is a person who needs his ass whooped.
Oh, my God.
Right? And so we laughed and almost celebrated the fact that he had gotten his ass whipped. But at which hands is the question. And that's where it gets tricky and dangerous, because there was literally, she was joking and laughing and she flat out said, oh, he'll be all right. You know, that's where the ginger rolls conversation, well, not where exclusively, but that's one point where it gets tricky to me.
And I love that. I think it's a perfect segue, because another thing too is how complicit we are in the pressures people feel in trying to fit into a gender role. Because I was telling you guys earlier that a friend of mine who is a masculine presenting lesbian was saying that her partner, she's generally attracted to femmes, and they want her to just be a certain way. You know, like if she, let's say, wakes up one day and decides that she is in the mood to play in some of the more feminine spaces and wear a dress, or and obviously I'm describing these things as how we see it. You know, mm-hmm. obviously a dress, anyone can wear it. Just using it as.
But would it be like a jersey dress?
Oh my God!
No, I'm just playing.
I'm trying to be politically
the transition
correct.
Smoother. You know,
even worse.
But if she want to wear a sundress, because it's a beautiful 60-degree day today. Right. And then, you know, decides to take her partner out. There's no room for that.
Like, there may not be no partner.
Yeah, right. Literally, the partner would be like, are you fucking crazy? You know, like, I found that so interesting. Mm-hmm. I'm like, you're a woman, and your partner won't let you play in those spaces of whatever it is that you feel like you want to perform as that day. And not even as a woman, even as a man. Remember when we talked about, what was that show? Random Acts of Blindness. Mm-hmm. Where the girl met the guy and he was more masculine presenting. I think they met at a museum. And then when they exchanged numbers, decided to go on a date, and he rolled up in a dress. And she was like, what? You know, but to her credit, she rolled with it, and he was saying how it was, you know, he that's what he does. He's very gender fluid. He doesn't fit into any one role, and he doesn't allow expectations of what those roles should be to be projected on him.
Now, so it was a scheduling issue.
Oh my God.
She just caught him on the wrong day. It's
Dustin Ross. But I thought that was cool, the fluidity and the fact that, like, he literally was on screen with Bantu knots and the dress, and, like, I think he had, like, combat boots. I don't know.
They copied Rihanna's look from that award ceremony. Remember when she had the vamp makeup and that long sheath dress and the combat boots
literally
with the Bantu
knot? It's a very 90s, you know, very The Craft kind of vibe. But I thought that was
cool.
Shout out to Rachel True.
Okay, been out here telling it how it is.
She's so dope. But you know, I thought, like, why can't we be more accepting of gender fluidity as far as, like, performance? You know, like, if you want, and here's my question to you, because, like I said, it also, we have to see how complicit we are. Because I remember Maya was like, if someone you dated rolled up to the date in a dress, how would you react? And I'm not even going to front for the podcast. I was like, girl, I don't know. I would be like, okay. It would catch me the fuck off guard. You know what I mean?
So you wouldn't say yes to the dress?
Oh, my God. He really took himself down.
I hate to say a good one, but damn it.
Okay.
That was good, Dustin.
Dustin.
But you know, I had to really sit, and we had a whole convo, which was so awesome. That's why I love my friends, because we're so real, you know, and it was no political correctness.
Was just figuring it out.
We're processing, you know, and I remember whatever season, maybe season 3 of Insecure, where Yvonne Orji's character, Molly, found out that the guy she was dating was bisexual, remember? And he told her, like, he had messed with someone in college, and the fact that she was like, oh no, like, she was done with him. And then that brought up a lot of conversations on bisexuality. And if you found that out about your partner, especially, like, women finding out about men, and there was some terrible takes.
People really feel like it's okay for women, or women have the ability to be bisexual and men do not. That is literally a belief.
Right.
Yeah.
That it's a different thing.
Or even to be able to experiment. Or this even is.
script flip.
But that's why a conversation like, what would you do
freak
if he was wearing? He's just running
on him. I'm about to just light up in here. This is gonna be a long one.
But here's so my question to you is, oh God.
So a maxi dress. No, I'm just like, go ahead. Full length gown. Great gowns. Beautiful gowns.
Oh, you are on fire.
Great gowns. Beautiful gowns.
Dustin, how complicit are you
when it comes to
almost like forcing your partners to pick a role based on what you need them to be?
Well, again, I think this is where it's very important to be honest about what you want. You know what I'm saying? And I'm pretty honest about what I want and what I'm attracted to. And so I don't think, unless my partner experienced a change of life and they decided that they, you know, something had to happen and there was a transition, then I think I would be faced with a decision to make as to whether or not I was, you know, able to be attracted to them in that presentation of themselves. Just like they decided to change, motherfucker, you think I'm supposed to just be like, okay?
Yeah.
Like, let me know. Because you're changing. Everything's changing. And I know everything must change. I know that, right? However, it would be my choice at that time to participate or opt out. So true. I think that's what people need to do. And I say that to say that in general, I won't find myself in a position where I would even be faced with that. You know what I mean? And if I did, I would feel 100% confident to be able to make a choice in that space. I wouldn't feel pressured to like roll with the punches just because, you know what I mean? And I think that it would be unfair for someone to assume that I would just be okay with that. You know what I mean? And I mean changing it. It could be changing any kind of way. I don't want people to think I'm talking about like transitioning simply like their sex or anything, but changing the way that you look, the way you dress, anything.
No, I mean, we're focusing on
presentation. Yeah.
Yeah, presentation.
Like prime example, right? Like, I don't feel like I go out of my way to be like masculine presenting or whatever the fuck, right? Mm. I just wear the stuff that I like. Just like I got through telling y'all, I have been wearing jeans so tight lately, pants so tight. I mean, just literally like letting it all hang out and to the right. Usually. Hey. So like, you know what I'm saying? So like, but I had to be okay with that because for a while, my butt was a very sensitive area. You know what I'm saying? Caution tape right around my ass cheeks. You know what I mean? And up underneath that line between my balls and my butt, like there was caution tape. Okay. Stay away from the whole area. However, I wanted to streamline my look. You know, been hanging around a lot more white people. You know what I'm saying? I just, you know, so I've decided that I was comfortable with the way I looked and I didn't feel like, and I'm at a place in my maturity and in like my sexuality, in my sexual maturity, right? Where I don't feel defined by me having like a big butt or it's a detraction away from me, you know, my presentation or whatever. So what? You know what I'm saying? Pick a handle. You know what I'm saying? So like that's just there for you to hold on. Hold on. Okay, so that's what that's. So you know, I say that to say,
I don't know.
I wear what I like to wear, right? But imagine if I came in here, you guys would look at me like I was crazy if I came in here and I had on like a. Let me think. What could I wear that would look that would be odd on me, right? Say I came in here in a
Fashion Nova,
a spaghetti strapped, pink sequined. You know what I'm saying? Half top. You know, something that was obviously like a women's top, right? Or a top that most that would be associated
that'd be
like
perceived,
yeah, right? Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Y'all would be like, okay, what conversation are we about to have? Because Dustin, as we know him, would never wear this. You get what I'm saying? So I just wear what I like.
But here's the
it's
thing.
Like other people do.
If you walked in with this sequin spaghetti strap, mm-hmm. crop top.
Tie in the back.
With the tie in the back.
That part is satin.
I literally would be like, okay.
So yeah, because you love me, but y'all know like, y'all would be like,
these little details.
Let's be real here. I'd be like, okay.
Right, but you would be like, but you would say that though. You
would say that.
Okay.
But I would.
But like when I came in here today in this dress shirt, you know what I'm saying? You ain't said a motherfucking thing to me. So that's what I mean. There would be, you know, some sort of moment. I'm not saying any of that is right or wrong. And I don't judge. I don't even feel like it's something I would be able to judge about somebody, how they present. I don't judge people on that. I have friends, close friends of all types. You know what I'm saying? I'm not building a world where I see things in a traditional, you know, way or whatever the fuck. All I'm saying is when it comes to me and my personal choices in grooming and presentation and all that shit, I just like to be comfortable. And that evolves and changes along the way, but I feel like it's still been authentic to who I am. That's what's been consistent. So as long as that part is consistent, you should wear whatever you feel and dress how you want to dress and present yourself consistently authentic. That's all I ask for.
Right.
And that means evolving. I just told you my pants is wrapped. You know?
And the thing too is that I think the most important part is that even if you're shocked by someone's decision to change how they present, the most important part is that it shouldn't matter.
No.
So if you came with the sequins, we can't lie. We would be like, oh.
Right.
But then it would be cool. Like, right. That's is what it is.
Oh, you're going to respect my sequins.
Oh, we are going to respect
the
sequins. Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Because that is the consistent part about me.
But here's my other question about how you choose to present because you're saying it's authentic.
Yeah.
Aren't preferences conditioning? Isn't
maybe,
it coming from somewhere?
Maybe, but my taste has changed along the way. You know what I'm saying? And that's what I've been authentic to, like my personal taste. There was a time when, you know, I was wearing a Nietzsche jeans. I wore literally a 38 waist. I wear my true waist size is a 32. And I was buying 38s, even had some 40s. How was I even getting a damn belt through those?
What are you doing?
But that's what my taste was, and I could not imagine wearing something like the opposite. It evolves, it grows, that's it. The difference is that I'm not dressing this way because I feel obligated to for any reason. You just wear what you like. And I wish more people felt like that and even viewed other people's choices when it came to that in that light. As long as people, that's what I mean. As long as you're authentically yourself, who gives a fuck?
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Asante?
I kind of don't remember what the initial question was that you had on that part.
If you ever feel that you're complicit in any way on maybe your partners or the people you're dating.
Okay. Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay. So the whole time I was thinking, first of all, you know where I'm at with dating. I ain't really trying to do it, but if something came along, fine, whatever. So when I'm bored, I run these different scenarios in my head. Like if I meet somebody and they like, I think of anything, like let's say they've done porn in the past. Like, how do I deal with that? Let's say they had sexual reassignment surgery. Like, how do I deal with that? Like, I think about all these different things in my head and like how I would handle any of them. And I've just decided, like, as long as I stay true to like knowing who it is that I'm dealing with, then it's not going to matter. And not going to matter in the sense of, you know, we going to always be together, but in the sense of we'll be able to work this out however we need to work it out. So like, even if you decide you want to change and we're not going to be able to stay together, I feel like we'd be able to have, or we should be able to have like good communication on stuff like that, on why it wouldn't work, as far as like maybe it not even being the physical aspect of it, but where you're going to be at emotionally for X amount of time, or how you might change when you change yourself or feel like, you know, your feelings where they might be at. Think about all those like little random things. But I'm not at a point where I feel like I don't want people just because of anything, if that makes sense. Like, I just haven't met the right person to really spark my interest in certain areas. Like, I've always said, if I met somebody and
in certain areas.
Oh, God.
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. No, but like, I always think to myself, like, what if I meet somebody and they're like super femme and like they're really into me? Cause I've never dated somebody super feminine and like,
never?
No. Like, I just haven't like seen somebody I thought was like fly enough to be like, damn, like, you know, when you just see people, you just think that they're fly. Like, you know, I don't have like no type.
You sure the hell
so don't. That's what I'm saying. Like I've seen some like really pretty femme people, but I haven't seen somebody that's really been like, damn, I think you're like super, super dope. Like I've seen people that I think are like dope and I respect, but not like I think you're dope and I would date.
Right. Like that's sort like of enough dope to pursue.
Yeah. And maybe I just haven't met somebody and we've had like that chemistry. Because a lot of people that I end up, that you'd be like, damn, I would never would see you with that person. But well, we just got good chemistry.
It's just there.
So yeah, so when that chemistry is there, it kind of can go anywhere.
And that's an even better segue where it's like, have you ever seen someone that you are attracted to? Like the chemistry's there, but they don't present in the way that you'd prefer. And so you stopped yourself from pursuing it.
Like,
because you're like, I can't.
They stopped me.
They stopped you.
I should say, yeah.
Wait, tell us the story.
I can't get too specific.
Well, no, obviously not.
But they were like, I don't care what you're saying. No, we're not about to do this. As bad as I want to, because let's be clear, they wanted to. Okay, but they was like, as bad as I want to, like, we like, no. Because, really? You know, you don't, like, no. There's like, no. But I think it was more so them not wanting to. Damn, how can I tell this without telling this story?
Right. I'm okay. Like, what do you mean?
Okay.
I think it was more so. This was a person that I met twice.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If that makes sense. So like, and when I met them the second time, when I met them the first time, we had chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
When I met them the second time, we had chemistry as well because we had chemistry.
Yeah.
And so they was just like, uh-uh, like, no. Like, because, like, no, you like, no. They just were like, no. But I think they didn't really want to go there because I think they didn't want to, like, even... I just think they didn't want to go there. So we didn't go there.
Like,
but yes, yes, it has happened to me. I'll put it like that.
So you didn't stop yourself.
Which means you know, I'm very driven.
Which means that mm-hmm. if the chemistry is strong enough, it will override your expectations as far as like what the person should look like and their mannerisms.
No, no, don't get crazy. What the person look like.
Well, when I say look, I mean as far as their clothing, mannerisms, how they present.
This wasn't a case of that. This was... I can't tell this story. There's no way that I can. But let me just say that in this case, I definitely this was something that was not. It was something different. It would have been something different. And I think that they just were scared to play the game with me. That's what it was.
That's interesting.
But I was four flat down. Four. You hear me? So.
What about you?
I don't really know where we were at there because I really just had something else I wanted to go back to right fast.
Go ahead.
I know the question though, and I want to know your answer.
No, it's
we'll
juicy. Bring it back. We'll bring
yeah,
it
bring
back.
It. Please bring it back okay. for me. Just because, Fran also knows that there are a lot of like things that I've been wanting to like tackle in these
That's
arenas
why I'm, like,
anyway.
Get it out.
So tackle. I'm like, I have to like just be able to remember everything and keep a running tally. One of the things that I wanted to like bring back was on the app, like. It's hard for gay men, I feel like, to connect in certain circles, whether it's like in person. So the app is like a good space for people that are like are awkward or busy or whatever. But the problem is that a lot of people view like sex kind of like as a taboo. And so when they're looking for people or they're on their profiles and they're talking about how much they want somebody to be masked, it's kind of under the guise of like, you have to be able to hang out around me and my friends and not be able to like or be able to keep this a secret in order for us to hang out. So there is kind of like that performance anxiety sometimes when you're talking to somebody. Are they going to fault you for flicking your wrist? Or if you, you know, jigged a little bit to the Beyonce song, or if you knew too many of the words, like, it's just that sometimes that comes up in the littlest of ways. And just an example, I was once talking to somebody and he literally said to me, he was like, oh, I've heard you on your podcast. Or no, I've seen you on Twitter. And you come off a little femme on there. And in my mind, I'm like, okay.
What?
Like, and I don't even really know what to say about that or give a fuck about that. Because in my mind, I'm like, this. If you're reading this from my Twitter, like if you're judging me on my Twitter, that's like a whole thing in itself. So I couldn't even really get into the whole like mask or femme phobia of that because I just thought it was so interesting. Or I think it's very interesting what people will put off on you. And if you can't give off a certain air of something, then they don't want to interact with you as if it's going to take away from their experience.
Right.
And I think that's unfortunate in certain areas. Go ahead.
Oh, the question? Okay. So
that's what you're about to say? Okay.
That's
so,
what I'm
oh,
about to
say. I thought
to,
you were going to jump in.
Right. Yeah, that's what okay, I'm about, so yeah, I'm about yeah, to run, just run ask it back the question. Me,
so the question was, have you ever been in a situation, okay,
where... He was not
I know, I'm like,
because
have
look
you
at
ever been, have you ever been in a situation where you were attracted to someone who was different than what you would normally be attracted to as far as presentation was concerned?
And you either stopped yourself.
Yeah, that, or and you went stopped yourself it. Or you went for it.
Because the chemistry trumped the presentation.
I don't know how to answer this without sounding like a hoe. Like, this, I'm like really hesitating.
Well, you don't think
on,
they know what's
child,
wrong with being a
free
hoe.
Love.
Well, because here's the thing. Like, I feel like I was just telling you the other night about somebody that I like. Remember, I was telling you the other night.
And one of our couch romps.
About something really good that happened to
yes,
me.
Sir.
And you were asking me what the problem was. And I was just like, I don't know. Like, there's
that
something
was missing.
It's just something that's missing. It wasn't anything wrong. Everything was right. But.
So I guess that's what happens when you move forward.
Uh-huh.
Certain things can happen, but nothing beyond that. The way y'all are left.
Because I just told you, and you were asking me, you were like, so what's the problem? And I was just really sitting there like,
you're like, there's no problem, I just don't want it. I mean, that's real.
Yes, I like it.
And you know,
but I don't need it. I don't want
I always like really masculine men. Y'all have seen the men I've been
yes.
with. They're a little on,
yes.
on the toxic side, to be honest. But I also know as much as that's my quote unquote preference, it's also what I grew up around. Mm. So that's why I'm saying how much of your preference is conditioning and how much of it is an actual chemistry. Because that's all I wanted. That's all I've ever gone after, you know, and was kind of like comfortable with that being my type. And then I remember I dated someone who I had so much chemistry with, and everyone kept asking me if he was gay. It was so fascinating because, yeah, and y'all know who I'm talking about.
I know, that's awesome.
Because they were like, that's so unusual for you. Because I remember he had like bracelets and he had like rings, which is
that's
so silly
up.
When
I
you
know.
Think about like the bracelets and the rings. He had like
a lot of them be fucked up, but true.
And he's just
did he have a seashell collar? No,
were they bangles? Because if the bracelets
no,
were making
bangles.
Noise, then I see.
It's not so much the bang, it's the noise that you associate.
I find it also silly. No, but just regular bracelets. Yeah, yeah. And even like when he'd sit, the way he'd cross his legs and...
The way he would... how did he cross his legs?
You know how old men like... I mean, really, there's no way to cross your leg gay. Like, it's just crossing your legs. That's what's so silly about it. Look at
the I ain't never seen
it. But that's what's so silly about it.
Well, yes, it is. Come on.
Because he wouldn't man spread.
Yeah.
You know, he'd cross his leg. And Dustin is killing me right now.
If people gave you a hard time about his braces, be like, well, that's better than them silver braces your nigga got on. Hey, you know which ones I'm talking about. Love after lockup. So don't be letting them talk about your boyfriend, friend.
And he had an energy. He had an energy that was really...
What?
Let's just be transparent. It would be considered soft. He was a man that was soft. You know what I mean? Like,
don't look at me
that
like
dude that.
That
somebody would say that about.
That's, I feel
that
what
was
you're
his
saying.
Energy. You know what I'm saying? And so it was different for me. And the cool part about it was that he was so in touch with his feminine side that it allowed him to connect with me way better on an emotional level because he wasn't on this super toxic performance, you know, of like what a man's supposed to be. Like, he played into being a man. He played into being more feminine when we needed to talk about certain things. Like, he was really fluid and kind of knew when to play into whichever side of the spectrum was needed in that situation. And I thought that that was mind blowing for me.
Yeah, honestly, I like California guys too.
No, he didn't. And after dating him, honestly, it opened my mind up and made me realize, like, you gotta stop picking certain people because of how they present as tough, because they end up being literally tough to break through, like emotionally, as tough as the exterior is, the interior is just the same. And I kind of was fascinated by the fact that he was viewed as soft, but it was that softness that allowed us to connect on a level I'd never connected before with a man.
Wow.
But then there was also that thing too of people always asking me if he was gay. And I was like, this is so interesting. And it, you know, and I didn't care. I didn't care if people felt that way. And me and him laughed about it all the time. He was like, I've always had that stigma where people thought I was gay because they thought that the way that I present, only a gay man could present. Like, there's no way that a straight man could be that in touch with his feelings. You know what I mean? And so he always found that really interesting. The coolest part about it is he didn't care. He never played into it. He didn't get emotional. You know, he was like, I'm not gay. Like, why does it happen? He was just kind of like, listen, I've
That's what turns you
it.
On. He ain't give a fuck.
He really
Fuck them
did.
Niggas. I don't care what they talking about, baby. What you want to eat?
The fact that he was so cool about it really showed me that on an emotional level, he really had a lot going on in a great way.
Yeah, he was self-aware in a great, healthy way.
Completely self-aware, emotionally intelligent, and he understood how who he was breaks a lot of the stereotypes and what's expected, and breaks a lot of boxes and barriers. And so he, knowing that, still navigating the world being that, I thought was so cool. And I was really, really drawn to it. But I can't lie, there were also times where, like, let's say, and, you know, I was still living in the harsher part of Harlem at that time, when he would walk me home. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Coming to my block, the dudes on my block are looking at me like, hell no.
So you walked in the front when he would walk you home? I mean, there's a solution to everything, you know?
No, but listen, that's when I'm asking about how complicit are you? Because, yeah, when we were connecting on an emotional level, it was cool. But then when I wanted to feel protected, that's where it got me annoyed. You know, where I felt like he wouldn't be able to hold me down if something happened. And I remember being turned off when we would go to certain areas if we went out or to the club, or areas where, like, the masculine side did need to come out more. At least that was the expectation or projection on my part. And I was getting kind of turned off because he, like, couldn't hang. Like, there were dudes that
also
would,
you was mad because he was consistent. No, I'm just playing.
Literally, that's exactly what it is. That's why I'm asking about how complicit we are.
Well, wait, though. Is that consistent, though? Because to me, there's something extremely brave about being able to tune all that noise out and still be your truest self. Mm-hmm. So the fact that, just like you just said, he, you know, was kind of unapologetically himself. To me, there's a tough quality to that. There's a bravery to that. So I wonder why it... I wonder where it changed when he faced intimidating circumstances.
Well, he was very clear, like, I'm not going to be fighting. That was kind of like his boundary. Like, I'm not going to be fighting about nothing. Like, I don't play in that arena.
So what would happen when,
So I remember there were times where dudes, and you know, dudes can smell when someone's quote unquote soft. Like, they can see it, smell it, and they almost enjoy it and play into it. So there'd be dudes, if we walking in the street, that would holler at me right in his face.
Damn.
And he wouldn't do nothing, because that's what I'm saying about the softness working in certain times.
So what would you do, friend, when that would happen? Just be like...
Be annoyed.
Hello? Like, what would you do? What would you do, friend?
Honestly, a lot of the times I'd be the one that would speak up. And I'd be like, you're mad disrespectful, you know, disrespectful right now. Like, you see me walking. But then at the same time, it's like, I'm the one, like, checking the other dude, which is kind of crazy. But it's also like...
But is that crazy because you're conforming?
Right. And that's exactly what I'm trying to process.
Right.
Is it because there's an expectation of what his job is in that moment?
Or are you just not attracted to guys who won't respond that way in those types of situations? Right. Maybe that's not your thing.
No, but
can you find someone who will respond in that situation, but is also emotionally intelligent and connect with you on a soft level? You know, like he
has to
literally...
Yeah, but he's probably bi for real.
I mean, and that, no.
Because we fight. So, you know what I'm saying? So I think that would have to be the trade-off.
Right, the trade-off. But these are the conversations I would love to have, because...
We're going somewhere.
That's why I'm asking about how complicit are you?
Right, I understand exactly what you're saying.
In that moment, I remember making him feel a way. Like, he was kind of like... I remember he said it to me. He was like, yo, you give me anxiety to the point where sometimes I don't even, like, really want to go out with you, because I know men are going to say something and they are going to test me. You're a beautiful woman. If I'm walking with you, they're going to say something. Like, they're not going to say something. And he hates feeling like he has to always be on guard, ready to fight. And he was like, I don't like that. It's just not his world. And then I remember feeling weird about it.
Because he's going to have to do that for the rest of his life, friend.
I don't know.
But also at the same time, how can you look at him and say, I didn't ask to be fine for the rest of my damn life. So, like, we in this together.
Why is it so far he don't want to say nothing?
But then you'd have someone like my ex who would be ready to fight you if you even just look in my direction.
Right.
He's ready to throw down. But then he's also the same motherfucker that, because he's that hard, he don't know when to turn it off.
See,
it's like
where I'm at.
It's tricky.
I don't think that you're wrong, and I don't feel like you're wrong at all, right? But at the same time, I feel like maybe he was the type of guy that looks at people and wishes they would do what they would want to be done, like do for yourself the way that you'd want to be treated. But at the same time, like, because me, I'm from the South, and I still treat women, you know, more than I treat men to a certain extent. Like, I'm still very, you know, overly chivalrous to women. But that's just how I was wired. At the same time, like, I know some men that are like, oh, honey, I'm gay. Like, I ain't getting up for that bitch. Like, they just don't give a fuck. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, there are these certain, like, things where it's like, we're wired a certain way. So, like, you know, I be walking with you sometimes and dudes be looking and I be wanting to say some shit like, damn, you don't see we talking? Like, damn. Like,
you do be, though.
That's what I'm saying. So, like, we wired different in the sense of, like, maybe... I know and I feel that and I think that and I believe that, and maybe for him he's so emotional and I don't even know how to even try to compensate for the way he's feeling, but I know that there's that certain type of person that's out there that's like, well, as much as I want to speak up for my woman, like, she should be able to do it herself, or I don't see it as that big of a deal, or I don't know what the emotion is behind it. But I know that there are men out there that'd be like, well, you know, we're expected to do certain things, but, like, why can't women do it too? But at the same time, but at the same time, I feel like it's problematic in saying that when Black women do so much for Black men. So that's why I'm, like, hesitant to try to, like, even break it all down.
It's just a lot. It's so many layers to it. And, you know, and that's beyond how you're presenting. That's also how you were raised.
Right.
You know, how your nature versus nurture.
Right.
What masculinity means to you. Even in 60 Days In, which is the show that we've been watching. Yo, there's a guy that went in, right? And he's like a Muay Thai teacher, like all like, you know, all this bravado. And then he has a son who he considers soft. And he wasn't saying it, but I really felt like he thinks his son is gay. Yeah. And so he asked the show to put his son in the prison. His son was like, what? And he was like, I think you should do this with me. And do you know he forced his son to do 60 days in with him? And the kid was like, I don't want to do this shit.
Hell, that's what he should have ran away.
But he did it.
For real? Shit.
You know,
season 3 or season 4?
This is, I think, 4. Okay. And he did it, but guess what the getcha gotcha was?
What?
The father didn't last, and the son did.
Wow.
Because he had the emotional intelligence to navigate the space he was in while the father was ready to fight everybody getting killed. You know, he's wanting to fight this dude, that dude. He ended up having a mental breakdown because he was always bracing himself for, like, war and that warrior spirit that is exhausting. Mm. And he ended up leaving. And he even said, like, I always viewed my son as soft, but he's actually stronger than my ass because he completed the program. And he couldn't believe it. He was like, I never would have thought that this would have been the turnout.
We usually see things through to the end.
And even with y'all, like, people project what gay men's masculinity is, but there's never been a time when I've been with y'all that I didn't feel safe because y'all be ready to fight everybody.
Yeah, you know. Well, you know, but like, yeah. And you get a lot of attention, Fran. For me, like, anybody that is accompanying you in any space, like, especially at this point in your life and in the things that you've done, the notoriety you have, there needs to be a component.
Very cool.
Yeah, there needs to be. And you're fine. You're fine.
Thanks.
So like thick, like
I'm
fine. You know what I'm saying? Like, so like there needs to be an element of protection there, just naturally, as someone who understands what that means when you go into different places. So I don't get it. Maybe your ex was just the literal personification of someone being non-confrontational, and so at any cost, he just wasn't willing to face confrontation.
Right.
So. I don't know.
A warrior spirit exists with emotional intelligence and softness as well, where someone who can play in both spectrums when needed, both sides
absolutely,
of the spectrums when needed.
Yeah.
Because I think that's the ideal. There's a part of me that feels guilty. Like, should I be feeling bad that I expect to feel safe with the man I'm with? Because it almost feels like a biological need, you know?
Well, it also was a man who was challenging your relationship. Say that scenario was different and it was a woman who was, who every time she saw you was, you know what I'm saying? Trying to, you know.
I'm so glad we're not on camera.
Trying to, if every time she was trying to talk to you while you were with that same guy, you would have felt much more confident being the one who would check the action. You know what I'm saying? As opposed to it being a guy that you was walking past, you kind of thought, okay, well, you got this one.
Right,
you know what
like
I'm saying?
Your job.
Yeah. And I don't think that's you. Maybe it is. And if it is, then teach me. But I don't think that's you being complicit. I think that was you taking in the circumstances and being like, okay, this, it's your goal.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? I got these bitches. You need to handle this nigga. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's our agreement. So, yeah.
But
you finna let me get my ass whipped?
Yeah.
I hope that's what you said. Like, damn, nigga, you finna let these niggas get me? What the fuck is wrong with you? I ain't gonna let her touch you. Don't let him touch me. Capiche?
But it's a lot to think about. How are you complicit? Are you as fluid as you think you are?
Yes.
Dustin, oh my God. Those jeans are really cute, by the way.
Thank you.
And also within relationships, like, are you a rigid person? Like, would you
at the right time?
Will you allow chemistry and feelings to trump expectations and projections?
Maybe.
Sometimes you can't help it.
Oh my God.
Maybe. Maybe not.
And as I go into, you know, the dating world, I think about that when people are like, don't cut your hair, or, oh, girl, now, you know, you need to go start buying like cute dresses for when you go on dates. And I'm like, do I?
Or will he show up in a dress too?
I mean, hey, you know what I mean? Can we go get dresses together?
Are y'all going to wear the same dress?
You know, if I wear my Nike Tech, Is that going to turn him off when I roll up in like a sweatsuit?
No, because you look cute in yours.
No, but keep it real. Like a first date, I show up in Nike Tech.
No, that's cute. Like, that's sexy.
And what if he show up in Nike Tech too? You're going to be like, oh, this the one? Or you're going to be like, damn, he couldn't, you know, dress up for my ass.
Like, oh, but especially if y'all going to like a park or something, like say it's like early fall, so it's not too cold, but it's not hot. Y'all could go to like Coney Island and y'all Nike Tech.
No, my God, not that Coney Island. But cute. I find it funny that something as simple as like outfits, you know, and how you connect with people becomes such a thing where you're concerned about how it's going to be perceived, how it will help you, how it will serve you. Just a lot of layers to think about.
Lots.
Yeah. And so I wanted to bring those up. Thank you guys for sharing.
Thank you. It's just like money. Make the money. Don't let the money make you. So if you're attracted to that, be attracted to that, but don't be defined by your attraction being specific. Like, and exclude, don't exclude other people from just general respect.
Yeah.
I guess just because you're not attracted to them. That's what
I was
saying.
That's a big one. Leave people alone for how they want to present, how they want to dress, how they want to, whether they viewed as soft, hard, whatever it is. And most importantly, I think for me, well, I shouldn't say most importantly because people are going to do what they need to do, but I think to not put limitations on myself, I will let myself be drawn to what I'm drawn to and then figure out the rest later. Because I think when you tell yourself, I only like this or this or that, you know, it's like that's so limiting.
So does that mean
I've learned so much about myself from dating people outside of what I would normally date. I learned more about myself and why I had those limitations.
Same, because I never would have ate a watercress sandwich, but or ambrosia salad. But, you know, I've dated outside of my race, so, you know.
So does that mean, Fran, you would take a dip into the lady pond?
I cannot into believe he said that. I cannot believe you said that.
Why not?
You do not have to.
If somebody can
look, if somebody look, another one.
I know my mom has her ear.
And that is it for this week's Hot Button.
Support from the Friend Zone also comes from Shine. I don't know about you, but I think that's the perfect name for an app to advertise during Black History Month. Shine.
Your shine on.
I'm busy, you're busy, we're all busy, and it's easy to put ourselves last on our list. Luckily, Shine is here to remind yourself that you come first. The Shine app is like a daily pep talk in your pocket. Every weekday, Shine sends you a motivational text and audio clip to help you start your day feeling like I've got this. This isn't live, love, laugh stuff. All their advice is research-backed. Shine will help you handle whatever the world throws at you with self-compassion. And research shows increased use of Shine can improve your well-being and decrease anxiety. I know this for a fact because I go through a lot of stuff. I'm a person who actually suffers from everything getting on my nerves. And because of that, I need to seek out things that bring me a sense of calm. A really funny guy named Shad Santiago said that an open palm will bring you calm. But I ain't trying to slap nobody. So I thought, what's another S word that I can use? Shine. So the Shine app provides me with that same sense of balance and calm, and I really appreciate it for that. And if it calms me down, you know it's good. Download the Shine app today on the App Store or Google Play and go to shinetext.com/friendzone to get 50% off Shine Premium, because we only get the good stuff. You'll get access to the entire Shine audio library and enjoy other exclusive features. That's shinetext.com/friendzone to get 50% off Shine Premium. shinetext.com/friendzone.
Now we're gonna move on to the
my DMs. Holla at me.
Oh my god.
Just don't send no videos of your straps on fire, okay?
No.
That means Dustin messages. So if you think you can make it past me in her inbox, feel free.
I've always been fluid. So let's bring in the wind chimes.
Yes, let's bring in the wind of chimes.
So you guys, you remember Yoga with Adrian, right?
Oh, yeah, the YouTube series.
My homie, well, digital homie, I've never met the girl. But she has another 30-day challenge where it's yoga every day for 30 days. You guys know she does this every January. And I love it. I think it's her fourth year doing it, either third or fourth. And it is just so good, especially for me. I'm, you know, I've shared that I'm having some issues with my spine, and it's been really nice to stretch, which is what I, you know, we're also getting older. You have to kind of like integrate more stretching into your day to day just to stay. You know, it's kind of crazy. All these little aches that are like starting to pop up.
Older too.
I was signing up with a trainer and they were like, "Do you have any injuries?" And I was like, "Child,
do you have any time?"
It's just sad out here. But what I love about her is that she provides guidance. You know, you can obviously stretch however you need to. And I think intuitive stretching is really nice because nobody knows what your body needs more than you do. Mm-hmm. And I think it's something people should do in the morning, before bed, or just any time throughout the day. It's a good practice to add to your day. Even just for stress levels, you know what I mean? For circulation, for oxygen to your blood, like all of that. But I love her because she's funny. She guides you. It's challenging. Some days are really soft and restorative. Like, she'll have days where you're literally just stretching softly on pillows on the floor. Then there'll be the day where it's like a 40-minute one where you're literally drenched in sweat.
Oh, damn.
And I think that's the fun part. Nice. That, it challenges you in different ways and kind of allows you to push the boundaries that maybe you wouldn't think you could hold a certain pose or even do a certain pose.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you do it, you feel really good. I always feel super gassed afterwards. I always say, "You fucking did that, man."
That's because of the pose, friend. Just let it out. It's yoga. Don't nobody care. Break wind, girl.
And the cool part of doing it at home is you can do naked yoga. Which is, no, listen, it is.
I'm with
really
that presentation.
Nice. It is really, really nice to do naked yoga. I light candles and dim the lights, or I have my light bulb that has a remote control and it has the color wheel so I can vibe out the room to whatever color I need that day.
Yes.
Just get naked and do yoga at
home.
You
got to keep the candles away from the mat, though.
Yes.
Especially if they them low glade ones, because, you know, sometimes you hit the right pose naked.
Oh,
baby.
Baby. But is this the beauty
of a
private...
You'll be that girl in the video.
She was like, "Woo!" Not the harness, Lord.
Go on. Yeah.
The beauty of a private practice is that you can do whatever you need to be comfortable and to feel good. I know the concern most people have, especially women of color, is that you don't see very many women of color at yoga studios. I know even with bodies, like, everyone looks the same. So I know a lot of people who are bigger bodied, they tend to feel really uncomfortable. They feel like there's not a space for them. It's just not an inclusive space. And so the beauty of a private practice is that you can wear what you want.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Put your mat wherever in your house. You don't have to be worried about who's farting, who's staring, who's looking at you crazy or looking at you like you don't belong. So I always encourage people to start at home, you know, or stay at home. I think it's beautiful either way. She has a new one. It's called Dedicate, which I really love.
Dedicate to you.
And I just love it because, like I said, she's just really easy. It's for pregnant women. It's for people who have never done yoga before. So she encourages people of all levels, all body types, all bodies to try it. And it's really nice. And the best part of it is that at the end of the 30 days, honestly, you feel so accomplished.
That's wonderful.
You know how discipline is like the hardest thing to start.
Mm-hmm.
And so to do anything.
Unless they're your kids, you don't never mind beating their ass. But other than that, it's hard to whoop somebody else's kids. No,
it's hard to get your footing. It can be hard to get your footing with discipline. And so I think this is a great way to step into it. Tell yourself you're going to do it, stick to it, and by the end of it, like I said, you're going to feel so proud of yourself for showing up to the mat for 30 days straight. You can go to her YouTube channel. That's Yoga with Adrian. She spells Adrian, A-D-R-I-E-N-E. And you can see, because she just finished literally 5 days ago, you can see all the 30 days already there. She has it in a playlist. It was for January, so I'm sure maybe some of you who have been following her, because I've suggested her before, already completed it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you haven't, like me, who didn't get a chance to do it last month, I'm going to start it for February. So feel free to be my accountability partner. We can check in. You can tweet me, DM me, whatever it is, email me, and we can keep each other going and staying afloat within the 30 days. So
yes,
something I think will be fun. It's good for your body. Stretch. And honestly, even if you don't do the 30 days, just incorporate some of the days into your month and see how
you
body.
Niggas can at least do 15. It's getting crazy.
And see how your body will thank you. And you only need a yoga mat. And if you happen to have yoga blocks, you don't need them, but they are helpful if you're new to yoga because some of the poses sometimes can be a little rough and the block gives you a little bit of extension. Maybe your hand can't reach that low or your leg can't reach that far and the blocks kind of help you hit the poses with a little more ease. So that's it for this week's wellness segment.
Is there a yoga pose called the Kwan by any chance? Hit the Kwan!
Now I want you to dip into the Kwan and up into the Holly Berry.
Asante, take it away, Mr. Music Man.
Welcome to Music Land. It is very funny that you ask if that was called, if there was one called the Kwan, because Apple has a playlist and the playlist is called Hip Hop Dances of the 21st Century. And I just wanted that to be the high, the music
hip-hop
segment.
Dances.
Right. Oh,
hip hop
dances.
Hip hop rapping girls time.
Girls time. So this
sounds
playlist.
Sounds like a BuzzFeed video.
Yeah. Right. And then when I seen the playlist, it is a BuzzFeed video. Because when I seen the playlist, I was like, damn.
Wow.
Because we were just talking about this the other week about, you know, if Soulja Boy was like the first to do this dance or whatever. But then to listen to all these dances that have been since and before or around, I was like, damn, this is crazy. So I wanted to give a shout out to, on the list. The first song that they have here listed is Juju on That Beat.
Hey.
I hate that fucking song.
Why?
Do you know
I just
how to
be
want to
hear the original.
Beat?
No, I don't feel it's, but you know, I shouldn't say I hate it. It's not for me.
Juju on it. Hey.
If they don't know what Juju on That Beat is.
Okay.
I'd just be like, damn. I also, in this era, Watch Me Whip / Nene Silent Toe.
Watch Me Whip.
Another song I never have to. All these songs are the new This Is How We Do It to me. Like, I know.
But the thing is, these little kids, you ever watch a kid on the street, they can't even stay still.
They have
every
to do
kid
it.
Is doing the nay-nay, the whip. What's that one where the hand goes like that?
The it's a name, a person's
yeah.
name.
Yeah, what's
it? I forgot what it's called.
This is why it's not for us. Right. I love it for kids.
The shoe, like kids yeah. cannot stay still. Yes. It is insane how these dances have like taken over the
that
body.
I love.
It is, I mean, it's cute.
Yeah.
You see Noah doing the shoe.
Yes, young Noah the God hitting it.
Remember when Lonnie Love was doing it?
Bobby Shmurda.
And Easy Spirits and that Off-White thong.
Wait, what?
Bobby Shmurda.
He's making
hot nigga.
Hey. What was
Lonnie
that
Love.
Oh, I think hot I nigga. Remember it. Yeah.
That was the
that's
jam.
That was dope, though.
Yes, Free Shmurda. not hashtag Nene. I never knew the name of this group was We Are Tunes.
Nah, bro, you gotta lean, bro. Like,
bro, like,
bro, like,
bro, like this.
Yeah, like that.
You low?
Yeah,
my hands.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, I got it. Okay.
Yeah. Why is this drop that nay nay? Everybody makes their own little dance.
They talking to Nene Leakes. That's for her talking about nay nay was finna show up. They like. Drop that nay, nay. Drop that nay, nay. Grow up, knee, knee.
Now, this one is one of the goats, you know. Soulja Boy, tell him.
The blueprint.
Okay.
Soulja Boy. You got a punch there, crank back 3 times from left to right.
Now,
I love watching him do the dance when he would get down.
Yeah.
Yes.
He's so dope.
And then the words are so lit and so crunk. It's just a moment.
It's just a good song.
It's just a great
that
song.
That steel drum. It's just great.
All of it. Shout out to Soulja Boy, man. Cali Swag District, Teach Me How to Dougie.
Shout out to Gabby Douglas. Hit the Dougie. Remember when she did that? Remember when she hit the Dougie for that white woman and you would have thought that's who was doing it?
No,
when she dancing.
No,
you don't remember that? I have to show it to you.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Another great one I would like to highlight is DJ Unk. Walk It Out.
Hey.
Walk It Out.
And then this is the remix.
Walk It Out.
Do you know who was on this remix? Ooh. Oh my God. It was Outkast and it was Jim Jones.
What? On the remix?
Yeah, on the remix.
Yeah.
I remember
Walk It Out like Usher. If you say real talk, I probably won't trust you.
Oh shit.
Yeah.
I don't know if I heard that.
I remember Jim Jones.
Jim Jones and Outkast.
And he did the balling on the, he yelled that out on the track. Wow, what a time. Also, damn, so many moments.
I still like Jim Jones music.
I do too.
I'm sorry.
There are some songs. Listen, we're going to come back to this during your segment.
That Diplomat album was
good.
Can't
help it.
Look. They didn't have some.
Why'd you say it like that?
I was watching Love and Hip Hop New York. I was like, damn, I wish I would have gone to the Dipset reunion show at the Apollo. I was like, damn, I missed
it. It was at the Apollo.
I
could have walked
there. That's what I'm saying. I was like, damn, it was right here.
It was probably sold out so quick, though.
Right. It was one of them things, yeah. You know. You know, also because we're in the South, Young Jock had a song before he became a reality TV goon called It's Going Down featuring Nitty, who was on the beat.
Still love it, but.
It's Nitty Beat.
Boing. That's all I'm going to give you because we ain't even going to be able to get to the rest of it.
I used to love that damn song.
Yeah, me too.
Yes. And then everybody just.
That damn neck crack.
Call it college pod. Where they chop cars. It'd be like, hey, going on.
Right. Now, speaking of going off, and we still in the South, them Franchise Boys had Lean With It, Rock With It.
Oh my God, yes.
You want to talk about Hood Classic? I'm not even going to play that because Hood Classic. New Boys, You're a Jerk.
Yes.
Did you jerk? Did you ever do the dance?
Jerk.
No.
Yeah.
Jerk.
It was just that like.
The little. That
it's like a backwards.
Like,
yeah. That's exactly what it was.
I never did it, but I know.
Oh, it's a lot of things on this list. This one's Harlem's very own web starring Young B.
Hey, chicken noodle soup. Chicken noodle soup.
That's just it's just a good song. It's just a jam for real.
Have to ring the alarm. Ooh, if I was a DJ, I'd mix them up.
Look him.
I let it rain. Okay, clear it out.
I let it rain.
Okay, clear it out. I let it rain. Okay, clear it out.
Let's get it.
Why? The rain cleared out.
Why?
Why you did it so hard?
Right. Look him doing it.
Sorry, it just got on my spirit.
Woo.
GS Boys, the stanky leg.
Oh yeah, dude, stanky leg.
That ain't for people, you know, your knee replacement crowd.
Oh boy.
That ain't for y'all.
Wow, Hurricane Chris, Halle Berry.
The first Travis Scott.
Halle Berry. I don't remember the dance.
I remember the melody.
Hurricane Chris is like Travis Scott.
Oh, okay. As soon as
that right. Beat though.
That bow is what used to take me out.
Remember when every fucking song sounded like this?
Yes.
That thing just make you want to.
You think Halle Berry liked this
song? Yes, she did.
Yes.
Didn't she dance to it on Ellen or some shit?
No, she didn't.
She did. Oh, God. I'm not even exaggerating, for real. She did. She, like, came out to it or something
what?
Like that.
Halle Berry.
Hey, Halle Berry.
Halle Berry.
What the fuck?
Wow.
Who came up with that in the studio?
This playlist has so many things. Oh, and you know what?
That's so random.
You know what else is on here?
Halle Berry.
Because we was talking about him earlier. Jim Jones. We fly high.
We fly high. Because
you remember that was a dance every nigga in the club did when they was balling?
I still do it.
Right. Anytime you know it's supposed to be the balling part, you still ball out.
Balling.
Terror squads lean back.
Yes.
I lean back.
One track away from Young Dro's Show to Lean featuring T.I.
Also, speaking of one track, that was when Remy had that blind bang.
The blunt bang, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
that
wait.
One blonde
that
track.
That was half black.
Remember
half
she had
white?
Blonde bangs and the rest of her hair was black.
That's yes. what it was. I thought yep. it was half and half. But
one
yeah.
track.
One track. Well, that pretty much sums it up. There's also a song on here that I don't think I've ever heard, and I feel bad because it's Busta Rhymes. It's Twerk It featuring Nicki Minaj.
Play it. I don't twerk it. Is it recent? Yeah!
Oh, I have heard this song. I just didn't know it was a dance to it.
Okay.
Big man, let me talk. Here where you fit though. Shut your mouth. Listen close.
I do know this song. I just ain't know
this. You never heard this?
I know the song. I just ain't never seen a dance.
Oh, you just move like Busta Rhymes and Mariah Carey was moving on that recent performance of Baby, If You Give It To Me, I Give It To You.
That is it for this portion of the Music Man segment. Do you want to get into your listens lately before we move on and tell me what you've been listening to lately?
I'll jump in. Jeez. Rest in peace to James Ingram.
Oh,
a
man.
Legend. So I've been listening to Just Once and My 100 Ways. I've been listening to that. I also want to give a shout out to I want to give a shout out to this rapper from Detroit, 42 Doug. I try to keep my ear to the streets.
Yeah.
And I asked one of my little homies that lives in Detroit, I asked her what was, and she actually works in one of the clubs. So I asked her, like, what are people are listening to? And she's like, just get all the ghetto shit. And she gave me, like, three names. Mm-hmm. I have been in heaven ever since. So just wanted to put that out.
Dustin Miller listening to the ghetto shit. What about you, friend?
Emily King has a new project called Scenery.
Oh, you've been on the ghetto shit too then, huh?
And she, I just love Emily King. She's such a nice vibe. And obviously because I was like warming up my living room, like I was saying, with rugs and drapes. So I had the candles burning and the resins burning, you know, putting kind of like easy breezy music. And her album came out perfect timing. I was also listening to, so Maya got me watching this show on Netflix and she insisted I watch. She was like, please, called Sex Education. Have you
that
heard?
Shit looks so funny. Is it actually funny?
It is really funny. She made me watch it because she's working on a show.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's doing a lot of research just on, because you know, Maya's not just going to write a show. She's also going to be concerned about camera angles.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that's what I love
her vision.
About her.
Oh my God, I can't wait to watch.
Exactly.
I know.
So she's studying, you know, like what will the show look like? What's the lens that will be used?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and just more so of the tech aspect as well, which is really exciting. So part of her research is watching different shows on Netflix and Hulu and for research purposes, and she got me watching that one. And there was an artist, there was like a prom scene and there was an artist playing the song and he was so good. I was like, let me Shazam this. And it was Ezra Furman.
Mm-hmm.
Like Ezra. I guess, yeah, he's just dope. And it kind of gave me that, like, remember when we did the white radio?
Mm-hmm.
It has a sort of, let me see, I'm trying to remember which was a song, because honestly they were all pretty good.
It's restaurant music. I'm with it. I'm with it.
Colorado.
Right. It just kind of reminded me of the white radio nostalgia.
Yeah.
He has a really cool sound and kind of feels very throwback. And I, you know, I felt like I hadn't really heard music that like that in a minute. So that was kind of nice. And then I've been listening to a lot of 21 Savage.
Yeah.
Damn.
I hope they figure that shit out because that's fucked up what happened to him.
It's
and I
so
really hope they figure
too.
That out.
Yeah, there's all this shit with Ice. because I'm first generation American. Yep. So it's, my nerves have been pretty bad because ICE has been detaining people who even have who have their paperwork together, as well as people who don't. And that's, I think, the scariest part is that they don't care. And I guess we shouldn't be surprised because look at our government. They yeah. don't seem to care about much. So it's a nerve-wracking feeling when immigration is part, you know, a big part of the fabric of my family.
Mm-hmm.
So hearing stories like this has had me on edge. And I just, like, was listening to his songs the whole weekend. And then lastly, Alex Isley has a record called We'll Always Have Paris. Have you heard it?
No, I haven't listened to it.
Oh, it's so nice. Listen to this. I think I changed my mind for the last time. No more chances. No more answers. Almost came across the line three or four times. I can't go there. Broken heart gets nowhere. We'll always have Paris. Ooh. We'll share it. But as far as it goes, that's all I know.
Sexy.
Oof.
That's absolutely
stunning.
Absolutely neck licking music. That should go towards the beginning of the playlist. Absolutely.
But imagine having that on with dim lights, candles burning, resin. Like, when I tell you I was in a mood.
They gotta
this
go with
weekend,
a view though.
You yeah, girl,
have a
you finna start
that.
Dating, girl. Yeah.
Engine's revving, you hear me?
Okay.
No, but honestly, that record is beautiful. She's amazing. But that record hit me.
How is she related to the Isleys again?
She's the daughter, not of Ronald, but one of, I don't want to say the wrong
right, but one,
name,
but one of the brothers. Yeah, okay.
Yes. And her name.
My knees can sing.
So that's Alex Isley, Will Always Have Paris. Please yes. check that out because it is just a vibe. And then it was like nice and warm this weekend. This is a really nice weekend.
It should be called We About to Be Parents.
So that's it for me, Sante.
Oh, Lord. There is this rapper out of Compton named Boogie that I've been listening to.
I got the album too. It's good.
It's really, really dope. Yeah. It's really fucking dope.
So, I got that album too. It's good.
It is that good. I was listening to it. It's like some cool riding music, but
Boogie?
Yeah, Boogie. He actually has a JID on there on one of the tracks. Shit.
But he got an IUD. Remember when Cheryl Underwood was like, my IUD pick up cable channels, goddammit. You don't remember that? Yeah. Back when she did Def Comedy Jam. That's what she said, sucking dick, make your teeth crooked. You don't remember that?
What?
That's what Cheryl Underwood, that was before the prime. Talk. That's what she was talking yes. shit. So, yeah. Anyway, go on.
Well, I missed you said on Comic View?
Def Comedy Jam.
Yeah. Said Comic View. It's like, I miss Comic View.
Honorable mention, too. There are a few features on the album that you're going to like, but Black is on the album,
hey,
Six Lack.
Six mm-hmm. Lack.
Eminem, Christian Scott, Atunde.
Oh my God, I love him.
Yeah, did I say that right? Yes. I apologize if I did not. And
Jazz
lastly,
player.
I know that you really gonna know who this is. Snow Allegra.
What?
On the last track, Time.
From the Smoke.
No.
Wow, these are great features.
Yeah, yes, and it's a really, really dope project too.
Oh, I gotta check that out.
You gotta listen.
Dustin is killing again. Me.
I mean, himself, he is zound. Again, the rapper is Boogie, and the album is called Everything's For Sale. I also wanted to highlight this singer named...
Dustin said, I got that album too. That was so genuine.
I want to highlight this singer by the name of Roman. He put out a project. It's Roman, R-O-M-E-N. He put out a project called Dear Growing Pain. It's the EP. There are six tracks. There's like this little visual of him sitting right in his room to this one track, Last Call. That's really dope. And I was watching it. And he could sing. Hold on.
Roman.
Please don't make me feel crazy.
Ooh.
Just because you're lazy.
Because you're lazy.
think I do too much and I had enough. Thought it was a crush, but I think too much. Is it really love? Is it feel like us? I know, you know, we know. And it's no love lost. There's always a cost. Mama said ain't nothing free. She been loving specially.
I like it.
Yeah, Roman's got, he's got like a really rich voice and
I
he
love
does some
his
really
tone.
Yeah, and does really, really interesting things and notes. So I really appreciate Roman. Again, the EP is only 6 tracks. Last Call, that's actually the first song on the EP, but they're all worth a listen, honestly. I checked out the project. He's really, really dope.
I'm gonna check it out because that shit sounded good.
Right. You know, just a little something new.
They might say
What's funny is when he had tweeted that or I retweeted it, I went on his timeline to look at what he was tweeting and
Andrew Caldwell arguing with somebody.
I know.
Hold on, I want to say this. I thought he was delivered. Let me step out of here.
Oh my God. No.
If this I want to steal your wife or steal your woman, trust and believe she would run over here. So don't come on this page. They go to you. Shut up. Be quiet. They go to you and they go to these your little fans. Don't come on this page and try to get this together. Let me tell you something. My penis is bigger than yours.
All right, that's it.
No, wait. You got to listen to the next part.
I love that.
Listen, that's fine.
He said, your girl gonna run over here and say, I love that.
I love that.
I don't know why that was so amazing. Like, I laughed for 10 minutes.
And I knew what you was talking about because I was like, I just seen that on this nigga page.
Andrew Caldwell.
He's a star.
He makes me laugh.
He needs a show.
He makes me
laugh.
Well,
speaking of shows, Music Man segment is done. Let's go right on over to TV land. Take it away, Dustin Ross, please.
I don't even know where to start.
Andrew Caldwell, continue.
Okay, exactly. So, Love and Hip Hop Miami. Right. Shout out to Miami Tip. She actually put out a single called Is You Mad or Nah? It was actually okay. You know, don't have any expectations of going into it
Zero.
As far as like lyrical prowess or any of that. But if you just want to move, it's a good song. So shout out to her for that. I also want to give a huge shout out to Trina.
Hey.
Because she actually told Bobby Lights, her cousin, well, in conversation about him signing to another label and not hers, she actually said that he needed to be kissing her ass, kissing her feet, and coming over her house and washing her car to apologize for betraying the family.
Wow, okay.
Trina, we move on. So, shout out to them. The other thing that I just really wanted to touch on about Love and Hip Hop Miami is Pretty Ricky, the members of Pretty Ricky, the older group Pretty Ricky, which is now called Ugly Richard based on the way Baby Blue looks. But beyond that, now they're all on the show. And I was today years old when I found out that Spectacular and Baby Blue, Baby B-A-B-L-U-E,
W-H-O-A-A.
Right. They're brothers. They're biological brothers. Yeah. Didn't know it. They have the same father. The father talked so badly to Spectacular Smith. I've never seen, well, I've seen some terrible things like that, but I didn't know if I was watching Iyanla or Love and Hip Hop.
For real.
Wait, where was this happening?
This was happening in Miami. He had gone, the father, a little bit of background for context, their father used to be the manager of Pretty Ricky back when they were at the height of their success.
Mm.
He completely misappropriated all the money. He says he spent it on them. They walked away with nothing. Spectacular goes on to start an online social media branding company and becomes a multimillionaire. Okay. He goes to Harvard Business School, all these things. And now the narrative amongst Baby Blue, Baby B-A-B-L-U-E, whoa, W-H-O-A-A-A.
What is this?
Now the sentiment amongst him and the father is that Spectacular right. owes them something, or he, you know, just went off and left them when they had just completely mishandled the group. Pleasure P had gone solo, so they had to do some restructuring, but they've completely alienated Spectacular. the things that really got under my skin that I didn't understand was how the father was saying things to him like, I'm not your father. You ain't nothing to me. Don't be calling me dad. You ain't earned that. Like, just, I don't want to be, nigga, you, I don't even like you, nigga. Like, look how you got your hair. Look how you got your hair like that, because Spectacular has long locks that he keeps pretty well maintained. He's a bit more polished than the other ones, even
isn't
in presentation
alone.
Isn't he
super wealthy off of, like,
yes,
on, like, online companies?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
And they're jealous of that. Mm. And I think that's what all that kind of talk is rooted in. So I just couldn't believe that the father was willing to go to those lengths. I hope it wasn't just for TV. I hope that's really how he feels so they can figure out how to heal that shit. But if he was willing to do that and say those types of things about him on TV, God bless him.
That nigga said, I love you. I ain't sue you for the name. You know, that's mine. The social media and all that. That's how you know I love you. I was like, wow.
But in the same conversation, later says he doesn't want to be his father because he doesn't like him. It's just it's awful and toxic. And
I despise you. You ain't my type of nigga. You ain't my type of people.
His dad said
that to him.
Oof, yes, friend. Exactly.
How was he taking that?
He was standing there almost, well, to me, like, it looked like he was like,
he was standing there, and I don't think it was anything that was new for him.
Right.
So there was a stoic nature of him, just like he was just icy when he was standing there. But it was so tragic, like, to watch that shit. Because to me, that just meant that them words was hitting like bricks every time he said it.
Gosh.
So, and then I was looking at him as he's cussing them out. He's got on these clothes and shit, looking like, never mind. Let me just say, like, as he's cussing them out, I was ready to go in on the father. But it ain't my place, because I don't get in between family business. So, yeah, there's that.
People were tagging me on the Shade Room,
mm-hmm.
which kills me when y'all do that. Asking me to make Spectacular the Black Business
of the week. He should be 1 week.
So maybe that's why what they were sensing, that maybe he had a rough week.
He had a very rough week.
He needed a boost. So Spectacular is the whiz behind the Grumpy Cat meme.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, that's what they tagged me to. I don't know. But apparently you know, the grumpy cat meme.
Mm-mm.
It's this cat that has like a cute little grumpy face, and people use it
incessantly.
Right. And it, even the Twitter had like a million followers.
Yep.
So
Spectacular
shout
built
out to
that
him. Yeah.
Hit rolling along the way.
1.4 million
that
followers.
One, yeah. Isn't that crazy?
1.4 million followers.
Yep. He's behind that brand.
He's truly spectacular. So
that's,
you know,
what I learned from the Shade Room.
Look at you. The more, again, where's the comment? Yeah.
Yeah, that's him. Isn't that crazy?
So there's that. Love and Hip Hop New York, Sydney Starr was very transparent this week about her journey in seeking sexual reassignment surgery. Mm. I thought that was cool to see on TV. And I know that.
And it was done respectfully.
By everybody but her. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh.
Really?
Okay. And so, yeah, and we just moving on. So, but everybody else handled it well. And I thought the presentation on behalf of the production company, I thought they handled it, you know, they showed it well. She actually was filmed giving herself a hormone shot. Mm. So for, I know that people, a lot of people that watch Love and Hip Hop don't see that process and don't know what it looks like. So that was dope that they did that. Other than that, I think that Maggie, Mano's girlfriend, is really, really pretty. Mm. And when she was singing, it was funny because she said, she's like, it just feels so good to be back up singing. And because, you know, she had been through some traumatic experiences and stuff. So it took her a while to get back into the booth to sing. And
wasn't his girlfriend shot?
Yeah.
I do remember that.
Plaza.
Wow, yeah.
But once she went into the booth to sing, she was like, at the end of her, basically her story arc this episode, she was saying how, you know, it just feels so good to be back in the booth. And I know, you know, it just feels good to be singing. But the clip they showed, she was like singing like how Young Miami raps. And if you know, you know, that makes sense. So like, it was just very like, oh, whoa. Oh, yeah.
No. Stop. Please stop.
Wanna
stop
go.
Right now.
I don't know what any of this means.
That's how she was singing. But in her interview, like confessional portion of the show, she was like, you know, just the passion I feel coming out when I'm singing, you know, it just reminds me of. I was like, well, it must have got canceled with the soap opera. You remember Passions? They canceled the show and Yorn. So, you know, that was just funny. It was a funny moment. Also, I thought it was really funny. Trina's cousin Joy has been having me dialing back to Miami. Right. Trina's cousin Joy has been having me rolling on Love & Hip Hop Miami.
You know I love to eat.
Yeah. She went on a date with this guy who she totally wasn't interested in, but he's funny. And so he's a rapper named Chaotic. He invited her to his restaurant, which was in the hood, and he was going to give her ribs. And I found a soundbite in the episode where he says, because these ribs here is the best ones this side of the Mississippi. Yeah, hey. And I just thought that was so inspirational. It was almost a clip of the week, but I'm focusing on black women right now. But I just, you know, in confidence, it was a lesson. Also, Love and Marriage Huntsville. You know, I don't know if anybody's watching. Great new show on OWN, produced by Carlos King. Yes. Saturday nights at 10 p.m. on OWN. Carlos King produced the show, follows three married couples who are working together on a improvement group that is focusing on North Huntsville, which is a traditionally black area, low income. They're building new homes as a collective, but getting there along the way is what the show is about, and also their personal relationships. Lots and lots and lots of toxic masculinity, but very interesting to watch. I think everybody should give it a shot, because I really want to talk about who I can and can't stand, but y'all got to know who I'm talking about first.
I want you to watch.
So, yeah.
Especially after we had these past couple episodes, you know, just to see like roles.
Oh, you're talking about gender roles.
Yes.
Yeah.
Baby.
Oh, yes.
And they're only, I think, 4 or 5 episodes in. So you can still catch up.
Oh, dope. I'll do that tonight.
Check that out. Mm-hmm. Was there anything else I wanted to mention during the TV segment? No, that's it.
That's it?
Yeah. I don't care about nothing that happened on the Super Bowl. I haven't seen any commercials that really moved me.
You're not talking about Big Brother on here?
No, because I feel like so let me be clear. The reason I'm not talking about Big Brother is because I'm afraid I'm going to jinx it. It's a show that's happening in real time. Mm. I am like completely invested in two of the members who are playing, and I don't want to jeopardize it. So I just have been trying to just not really talk about it a lot, not tweet about it a lot, but I'm completely watching every single clip I can get my hands on, every moment of the live feed footage from house. I'm watching everyone.
Really?
I'm so invested. And I've never watched Big Brother before, so I didn't even understand the game.
Right.
But as I'm watching it, I'm learning it. And
how often does someone get kicked off?
Twice a week now. But that changes everything about the show can change.
Yeah.
Everything about the show can change. So that's what it's so unpredictable that's what like hooks you in.
Yes.
You literally don't know what's going to happen next. And the players damn sure don't know what's going to happen.
Yes.
They don't even be knowing what day it is. They like when they open the thing up, they was like, ask them who won the Super Bowl, because they can't have any contact with the outside world. So Celebrity Big Brother, there's been so many arguments, but I just don't want to jinx it for the people that are doing well on there now by talking about it. I'm sorry.
You about to make me watch it.
It's good. I just want to shout out Karan. I hope I'm saying his name right. It was Karan Smith on YouTube. It was a YouTube channel that had all the Big Brother things uploaded in real time. Yeah, Big Brother, the show is good, but like the real moments are in the downtime that these clips come up in. And I used to watch when I was younger with my mom, and we were talking about this the other day, how like we remember rooting for people back in the day. And I was like, the game just changes so much now, like on these episodes. But watching the celebrities talk about like, you know, celebrity shit from like Lolo and Candy were talking about being famous and how they handled that. And Candy and Tamar were talking about stuff from when they were younger, hanging out. And even Dina Lohan talking about her dating life, like little interesting tidbits like that from these people you're getting to know, as well as them having conversations about trying to, you know, vote the right way and win games and kick each other out. Super, super dope show.
Can you hear them on the live feed?
Yes. Yep. And uncensored.
Yes.
So that's what makes the video footage from the live feed.
See. I didn't think you could hear.
Yeah, you hear. Like, you'll even hear over the thing where Big Brother's telling them to adjust their microphone or not obstruct.
Or not speak about certain things.
They'll cut the feed. If they, like, are about to reveal something, they'll cut the feed and be like, we'll be right back. But, like, cut to another feed, another room or something. Like,
so one thing
invested.
I will say,
oh
so on
God,
top of all of those,
on
top of all those invested. Interesting, like suspenseful twists and turns to the game, right? You then have the added dynamic of who are the celebrities they pick to play the game.
Right.
Here's why that gets cool. Tamar and Candy have a very storied past with one another, right? They were both put into this house, and obviously you can't leave out the house. You have to talk about stuff. They get to a point where they're working their issues out and things get kind of hot, but here's where it gets cool about who is chosen. They're two very black women. And they had this argument while one of them had a house coat on, okay, and a shower cap over a rag because she didn't want the steam in the shower to mess her hair up, okay? The other one, and house shoes, okay? This is while they're arguing. The other one, Tamar, has a body towel wrapped around her and is literally greasing up with oil, putting it on her arms and shoulders as they're arguing because she just got out the shower and they're both wearing house shoes. It was one of the blackest arguments I have ever seen in my life, and that's what makes it so interesting. I'd have already said too much. I don't want any bad juju on the beat or the show. Let's move on.
Can I just say one last thing? I was, because you talk about that blackness, I was watching one of the feeds, and I promise I'm done, where Dina was trying to eat the pork chop or figure out who's going to cook the lamb chops. And then later on, she went upstairs. And so Tamar came in the kitchen to cook them. And Ricky was like, oh, Dina said she wanted to learn how to cook them. And so Tamar was like, oh, no, we ain't doing that.
Because they got it. Yeah.
And then she's like, why are you laughing like that? And I remember falling apart at the same time. Time that she did that.
Would you eat one of Dina Lohan's pork chops? In a house with Candy Burris and Tamar Braxton available?
You could tell Dina was trying to get somebody else to cook already. So sorry, that's all I had. So yes.
Good luck to Tamar and Candy. Moving on.
Yes.
Okay. That's it.
Moving on to this is a story, right?
This is a story.
This is a story.
But before that, the Riggedy Remix. Does anybody have church announcements this week?
I don't.
Y'all, you have church announcements?
I'll present when I'm ready.
I just want everybody to remember that Grown Man Shit is a really fun project that I work on outside of this show. I never really talk about it on this show.
Yeah, I know.
I don't.
You know, I always get on you about that.
So, but yeah, it's a satirical lifestyle series that we write and produce over at CassiusLife.com. And if you guys follow me on Instagram or Twitter, you're familiar with me pushing little clips, preview clips. We like to call them social clips for the show, but they are linked. This is why I really wanted to bring it up, because I don't think a lot of people realize that they're linked to a full length episode that lives over on CassiusLife.com. So the clips I post, and even in my story when I promote the show, make sure you swipe on up so you can go and be led over there to Cassius Life, where the fuller length episodes live. There's a whole archive of them there. And it's just really a fun project that I don't think I've been giving enough light.
Amplification.
Yeah.
And you've been working on it for a while now.
Yeah, it's been over a year. I haven't even done a count, but I know there's over 40 episodes. Ooh. Now.
Okay.
So,
can you
spell
Cassius for people?
Absolutely. It's K, and no, I'm just playing. It's C A. Right. C A S S I U S, life, LIFE.com. And that is produced by Interactive One, Radio One, TV One, that whole family. It's a great place to be. I'm really happy to be a part of that family over there. So, yes, Grown Man Shit. It's a comedy series that we produce over at CassiusLife.com. Really want you guys to enjoy it.
And they really let you take the reins.
Yeah.
Because it is Dustin Ross completely.
It's a really good time, and it's a visual component to, you know, my little portfolio that I'm excited to share.
Yeah,
so.
That you're building.
Yeah. Awesome. So that's it.
Yay. I'm
Real
glad.
Church announcements at another point.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And we already did the black business, right?
That's right.
So now we are. So now to it's you, just sir. On.
Now you get the spotlight
the
with the story time.
People have been
now we get to know
it.
What's happening next.
That's right. So here we go with episode 4 of This Is a Story. The phone was right there on his desk. All he had to do was pick it up and send one message. A message that would satisfy a curiosity that would most definitely involve killing a cat. But Ron was a southpaw, so if he grabbed his phone, it would be with the hand that wore a wedding ring. Mia. Sade. He couldn't. No matter how empty he was inside, he couldn't fill that empty space with good feelings that were attached to hurtful mistakes. So, the phone set. He stood. He needed to move around, and it was close enough to the close of business for him to call it a day without guilt. He sent a quick iMessage to Mia on his iMac, letting her know that he loved her and he loved Sade and was heading to the gym. He always did that, sent those kind of messages, but these days it was more of a reminder to himself than it was a sweet surprise for his wife. Ron really wanted to have an honest, pure love with his wife. He did. But he shook off the thought. Of course his wife should be who it was. Mia.
That's the wife he had to have. He loved Mia. And the love that he did not question was the love that he had for his daughter. She was his glue, his attachment to it all. And since it was a permanent attachment, his marriage had to be as well. That was his obligation. And since fitness was also an obligation, Ron grabbed his duffel, shook off his thoughts, and headed 41 floors downstairs to the ground floor of his office building where the gym that he belonged to was located. Chic, trendy, expansive, and expensive, this gym was purposeful for bodybuilding, but especially for networking. Ron waved his iPhone in front of the scanner of the glass doors, which then separated to welcome him into the facility. As his loafers clicked and clacked all across the granite floor tiles, he was greeted by the surprisingly very visible and very beautiful director of operations, Robin. Robin was tall, stunningly beautiful, and completely unfazed by any and all flirtatious advances that were sent her way. She was all business, which is why you always saw her on the actual floor of the gym, engaging directly with the guests and members who happily paused their workout routines for her friendly check-ins. She was amazing at her job and had single-handedly curated the hottest gym in the city. Mr. Ron, who's exactly two letters shy of the greatest first name ever, Robin said as she walked out of her office door. That was their joke, and it made him chuckle every time. You just glad you got the same name as Rihanna, he quickly responded with a waving off of the hand, and she really didn't even want the name, so he added with a laugh. You know what? Go work out, Ron, Robin said with a laugh and a soft push of his shoulder. Mm-hmm, that's what I thought, he said with another laugh and headed towards the men's locker room to change into his workout gear. This day was going much better than it had started for him, and he couldn't wait to add a great lift session into his afternoon. He walked into the locker room, said hello to a few guys, opened his locker, and set his gym bag on the bench. He sat down and removed his loafers. Then he unzipped his duffel to retrieve his clothing. As he removed the items, he smelled the familiar scent of the fabric softener that he and his wife Mia used when they did laundry. The smell took him straight back to the argument they'd had that very morning in the laundry room. It seemed that all it took was the slightest thing to set them both off these days. And today it was breakfast. An argument that had started over getting their groceries delivered ended up turning into a full-on blowout between the two of them. And even though arguments are a part of all relationships, their most recent ones felt different. The things that Mia said to him, the edge of her sword was particularly sharp this morning. According to her, he was evil and came from a woman without a heart, which is where the cut was actually the deepest. Mia knew about his mom. She knew everything, and she still said that. Lately, she'd been very final in their confrontations. She was saying things that convinced him she was trying her best to hurt him. That was the scariest part. She would just snap, and he'd just take it. They played nice in front of Sade. She never saw them attacking each other. But the moment she was asleep or distracted, boom, another blow up. He couldn't believe she would mention his fucking mother. The one story that she actually knew about his mom was more than enough for her to never want to use that information to harm him. He was only a child. Maybe Mia was the real woman without the heart. In fact, he knew she was. She just didn't know he knew. You're going to fucking stare at the clothes or are you moving? You're in front of my locker, man. Ron was jolted out of his thoughts and back into the present by the nasty outburst from the guy who was now standing over him. I'm sorry, bro. I'll just be a couple minutes, man, and then I'm out of your way. No, you're moving now, the guy said, and then raised his foot to kick Ron's bag off the bench. Raised his foot to kick. That's all that Ron remembered before seeing that he was in the back of a car, handcuffed and placed in the back of that car with blood everywhere that he could see, right in front of the building where he worked. See you guys next week for This Is a Story.
As always, we love you so much. Thank you for listening to us, and we will see you next week. Bye.